Yeah, man. We're live.
Oh, great.
So when you go to Clearwater, are you going to sing with the Hulkster? Or are you going to go do
Hell
karaoke?
Hell yeah, dude.
Do you think they have like a Nick Hogan like Uber service?
Like Nick drives you home?
You don't get home.
I was going to say, that might not be the...
Well, maybe for some of those religious types, they'd go home.
Well, you might get home. He won't.
I mean, considering my hotel is about a block from the restaurant, I don't think I need Nick's Uber service, but... Hey, are we on Instagram tonight?
Yeah, we're live, pal.
Fuck yeah.
I got it all. I figured it all out. I even made a little reel before we started the show just to give people the Iggy on what's going down tonight on the Wizards.
A reel?
Oh, yeah. That's all. It's all the rage on Instagram, Tony. People don't want to look at the pictures anymore. They just want to see like a 60-second clip of what is happening. They want to know what's the haps.
What's the point?
No, what's the haps?
The haps.
That's what the kids are into. The kids like it. 60 seconds. Boom, boom, boom.
Whatever.
That's what I said.
You know what I say? Fuck the kids.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa, boy.
Think about the children, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The fuck are we doing?
Don't include me and HK in this.
I'll back here if you need me.
Back here if you need me.
All right, I guess it's just the NWO Matt and Big Papa Muff show.
Fuck yeah. Too sweet.
Sweet, sweet, sweet ski. Wah!
Yeah, maybe I'll change my name. Maybe Big
Finger
Papa
Guns.
Muff. What should my name be today?
Guns up.
What's wrong with Big Papa Muff? What am I having a fucking seizure already?
As usual, par for the course.
I'm excited to talk wrestling tonight.
Yeah, there's Big Papa Dump.
Big Papa Dump?
Yeah.
Papa Doppeldunk.
Kerplunk.
That's where the show is going.
Very, very quickly.
When are you going to Clearwater again, Tony? I got to make a note.
Oh, not for a while. Not till like
March.
Yeah.
March.
Fuck yeah. March into Clearwater.
HK is not going to be here next week. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
He's going back to Mexico.
Old fucking coconut head or whatever the fuck you called him.
Almond head.
Almond head.
I hear you're staying with the least important Guerrero. Is that true?
I am not.
Ah.
Which one would that be?
I believe the consensus, KJG says it's Chavo.
That's a KJG opinion, though.
Yes. Okay. Heavy, strong, very strong.
He is strong with that opinion.
Unless someone that comes on the show that actually likes Chavo, that I backpedal like a maniac.
Like when Ortiz was on?
What about Mondo?
Ah, Mondo's a gem. Hidden gem.
Mondo trained all the original Glow Girls. He's got his fucking place in history.
Yeah.
There you go, Tony.
It's working out great for him.
Show my work for me.
Do you qualify Vicky in there? Because Vicky's the worst.
No way. No,
she's not. Oh, jeez. Tropical chimed in already. He said Vicky. Yep.
She's only Guerrero by marriage, so I'm going to say no.
You don't qualify it?
No, right. She's not. She married into the family.
That's right.
She's still part of the family, then.
Yeah, I mean, so?
Yeah, but she's not like...
She doesn't have that blood.
Yeah, she doesn't have that wrestling pedigree, like Mondo and Chavo and Eddie.
Hector.
And Hector, yeah, good call, Kev. Hector.
Well, she's...
Gory.
Dory.
She's MBI, no?
MBI.
No one?
I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah, I don't...
Come on, somebody ask.
What is MBI?
Mexican by injection.
Oh, my God.
You know what? No, it's not, oh, my God. Fuck all y'all, because like 3/4 of us have been down to fucking Jersey Shore, and how many times we see the fucking FBI shirts, the full-blooded Italian and all that shit, or the IBMs, Italian by marriage. Yes. So fuck off and all of them.
Always.
That's not even remotely the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It's all derogatory. It's all, you know.
I was full-blooded Italian. The same as Mexican by insemination, whatever you said.
Yes, by insemination.
It always comes back to Tony's Italian heritage, huh?
Of course it does.
Like we get Italians at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Now, if you would have gone with like full body inspector shirts, like an FBI, maybe I would have been on board with you. But FBI, full blooded Italian? Come on, there's a whole stable made out of them in ECW.
Yeah, I know. Tracy Smothers.
He was the only real Italian in the group.
Did you have outrage when Tommy Rich was a full blooded Italian?
No, not at all, because I knew it was played for laughs and I knew it was played for jokes and, you know.
Okay. Here's the true test of the Italian, Tony. Did you have a problem with JT Smith?
No. He was Sicilian, wasn't he?
That's the liar, Bell.
He probably had more of a problem with like Chuck Palumbo and Johnny Stamboli in it than he did JT Smith and Tracy Smothers.
Doesn't say.
Is that right, Tony? Did you hate the FBI version of WWE's version of FBI?
No, Mike Peterson, Mex Italian. Perfect.
Vicky Guerrero is a Christian of French and Mexican descent.
There you go.
All right, so it's not by injection.
She likes wee wee tacos.
Wee wee, no, no.
Wee wee, oh, oh. Excusez-moi.
Okay.
You know she was Miss WrestleMania once?
Of course she was.
I didn't know that was the thing.
Yeah, man. Vicky Guerrero is a treasure.
Wrong. Wrong. Horrible. Wrong. Horrible.
Come on.
I love that. Like, me and KJG and Tony have been doing this for so long. We're just so used to what we like that the outside voice of HK is so refreshing, but also so controversial.
Terrible. Let's just call it what it is.
Terrible. Whoa. Hold on.
I'll be back here if you need me.
Hold on, yeah. Big Papa Dump. Let the man speak and at least say his part before you throw him down the garbage chute.
All right.
He's already halfway there.
Yeah. Come on, brother. Hanging on
by the
thread.
You can't be mad at his opinions, people.
Of course I can.
You can't say they're garbage. I mean, you think fucking Brian Myers and Matt Cardona are the two greatest wrestlers in the universe.
That's right.
You know what? Matt's not wrong.
Well, and you could be mad at it.
Nobody's mad. I'm just saying not everybody agrees with your opinion, and that's okay. You don't have to agree with HK, but hear him out.
No.
Let him use this wonderful platform to put under bury Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, my God. Marking out, chiming in already. Vicky Guerrero, better heat than MJF. Prove me wrong.
Well, MJF's a babyface.
Now, but before.
And I was
his shtick got really old real fast, that MJF.
But better than you, baby. Get the fuck out of here.
No, but even before that, when he was like, I'm a scumbag, and then he like took the cheap shots at every town they were in.
I'm your scumbag. Oh, fuck you too.
I liked it. Well, all right, so go ahead. Show your work on Vicky Guerrero, HK.
Oh, what do I have to defend?
That you hate her. Like, why? Why do you hate her?
She had, for me, changed the channel heat. And when I say that, when she came on TV, I couldn't stand her enough, so much that I would actually change the channel.
But what was it about her?
Like, I never found her believable in anything that she did. Like, her promos and all that kind of shit. She almost seemed like a very bad high school actor. And at times, like, would overact, especially with the excuse me stuff. It was she brought absolutely no joy to me while watching the program. And like I say, I got so tired of it, I would change the channel when she came on.
Now, did you also change your channel when she was in AEW?
So I guess I really didn't realize that she was an ADW as long as she was. Just throwing that out there. You know, I think she was during that, hey, let's bring them all in and see what happens bit.
You weren't a fan of her boudoir photos with Nyla Rose?
Never saw them.
Oh, God. Somebody Google that shit.
Please do not.
But wasn't that her role was to be like Mike super Peterson. Fucking annoying?
HK nailed it. My man, Mike Peterson.
But that was was her gimmick. Yes. She was supposed to be super fucking annoying.
So, but there's, you know, that there's a real
like if you paid, but if you paid to go to a wrestling show and she showed up, you wouldn't sit on your hands. You would get up and you'd scream, "Shut the fuck up!" or "Boo!"
Nope.
Because you're a Midwestern guy. No reaction.
No reaction whatsoever.
I call bullshit.
What fun are you?
You can, but I know that that's the worst thing I can do to her.
You sound like you're no fun to go to a wrestling show with.
Oh, I'm a fucking blast.
You sound like you're not.
Oh, I'm fucking amazing, man. All that shit, I'm in.
Did that work?
Yeah, big Papa Dump, it did. You just got to put it on the screen now.
There you go.
Huh. Come on. All right.
Come on, man.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. No. You would. I know you no. would.
Not doing anything to sway my opinion. Not at all.
I want to know whose Instagram account that was from, Tony. You have an Instagram? Tony's.
Nyla Rose Beast, maybe?
No. Who? You, Dingleberry, you have an Instagram?
No. I just fucking Googled a picture and it came up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It actually, I got it through Ringside News, and it was linked to Nyla Rose's Instagram.
All
right. There you go. Yeah. Look, who wouldn't be proud of that photo with Vicky Guerrero? Come on now.
I would. I would love to take one in my bathing suit with her.
Fuck you. Now, that would be fucking awesome.
Right?
Hey, is Squires listening? Can we get Matt's head photoshopped?
Get Matt's head photoshopped on Nyla Rose and have Vicky Guerrero behind her?
There's definitely the picture of me at the baseball game when we went to Baltimore with no shirt on.
That's right.
You could put, like, yes. Vicky next to me in her swimsuit. That would be fun.
Hey, all that and more. Coming up next.
Oh, we got so much. We got Tony, I can't wait to talk about picks with you because, man, you're the picks champion for 4 years running, and you were so against doing picks, so... I got something I want to throw at you when we start picks. The Royal Rumble was awesome. We're going to talk about that. Breaking news today, CM Punk's hurt again. Man, the guy if he didn't have any luck, bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. Netflix is going, Raw's going to Netflix. We're going to probably talk a little bit about a Vince McMahon stuff. We're not going to dive too deep into it because it's a bit disturbing, but I'm sure we'll talk about it. What else do we have? We got Okada, Fungata. He's going to do his thing. He was on Impact Thursday night. AEW had two great shows this week.
Yeah.
What's Fungata?
Fungata. I don't know. It's like you just put an F in a couple other words, you know, letters.
Sure.
Forget about it. Let's go with it.
Yeah, yeah. Fungul, your mother.
Fungul. It's all here. Next. What are we? Episode 674 of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
You are watching Shining Wizard.
You are watching Shining Wizard.
Wrestling podcast.
Wrestling podcast.
Yes. You are watching Shining Wizard.
You are watching Shining Wizard.
Wrestling podcast.
Wrestling podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Are tuned in live to episode number 674 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, live on social media, wherever you go on the streaming and podcasting platforms around the world. We're right off the rumble. We got plenty of news to cover, plenty of things to start our week off correctly on Monday night. So let's get rid of some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Around the horn we go. Tony.
Matt.
And some Kevin.
KJG.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm always excited when the boys from Bangladesh dance along with us. Am I wrong?
That second you are watching The Shining Wizards always throws me off because it doesn't look like their mouths are moving.
Maybe they're not.
Perhaps.
And I want to know if they use the money we sent them for that to buy those balloons.
Probably.
Ooh. Like, I don't want them to be using the same balloons they did for, like, fucking Chris DeStefano's video. We need fresh new balloons. Don't be recycling this shit. We paid good money for these videos.
For fucking balloons? I think it's okay.
Yeah. Like, why? You do realize we're in the middle of a climate crisis, right?
What? I don't know. Climate crisis. Shut up. What? This isn't CNN. What's wrong with you?
You think it's easy to get rid of all these rubber balloons, like being wasteful in Bangladesh? I mean,
first of all, I can't confirm that they're even in Bangladesh. That could have been fucking Florida in somebody's backyard.
It could have been the Bronx. Who knows?
Yeah, we could have been swindled.
Yeah. I mean, what about you?
Still worth it.
Oh, 100% worth it. I'm looking for more videos, different crews. You know, I'm hoping that website expands. They find other people in other parts of the world that would like to make a couple extra shekels doing these great intro videos.
Okay, what countries would you like to see? I'm interested.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Man, I would love one from the people from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, out in, like, the snowy glacier.
The Adirondacks.
You know what? You mentioned Canada. I got an idea.
All right.
We got fans all around the world, right? Why don't you guys send us your videos? We could put them in the intro, do a little dance, hold up some signs, shake
a great idea.
Right? I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. We could have fucking videos till the end of, like, the run of the show, probably for, like, another 30 years.
No, Jesse, we do not think we overpaid for what you got.
Not at all.
No. I just hope they're the OG balloons. I just hope they're not using the same balloons.
They're just balloons. I think it's
Don't be lazy about it. You got our money.
They're fucking balloons. What if they got a stockpile of balloons, right? They grab a bunch of balloons. They come out to do the thing. They put them back. Grab another stockpile. Keep it moving. But they're going to be the same balloons.
Use them once, and then give them to someone that's into balloon fetish, and then blow up some new ones.
What about
your lungs?
What about different hats? Would you expect them to wear different celebratory hats?
Yeah, we gotta change it up, man. Come
on. These poor fucking guys don't even have shirts. You want them to waste money on extra balloons?
Can we send them some Shining Wizards t-shirts?
I'd be happy to send them anywhere in the world.
Then they can wear whatever they want as long as in every video they're wearing Shining Wizards t-shirts, even if it's for somebody else.
Now you're just being silly.
I got them looking to expand.
Looks like you're already doing a fine job already.
That was hurtful.
Sorry.
That was hurtful.
I love you, brother.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Molly. HK, let's get our friends in MX, I'm assuming that's Mexico, to do a dance.
Bro, if you can pull that off, that would be amazing.
I have to see.
You are definitely... Look, when the man at the airport shows up Friday morning at 5 a.m. with the giant almond head sign, you know you're a local celebrity.
Almond head.
They're like the little gringo with the tiny hobbit feet. He'll be here. He's coming back.
The gringo with the tiny hobbit feet. Tony makes fun of you, and you got now misplaced aggression on me. Well, I'll be back here if you need me.
Paging Almond Head.
I believe it's across the board, everybody must get their balls busted. Nobody is safe from this.
No, please. And send in your homemade...
I'll be in the back if you need me.
Send in your homemade Shining Wizards videos, please. Nothing beats a grassroots campaign to be in the opening of our show.
Can email them to wizardspodcast@gmail.com, and then Tony can delete them because he can't see. So.
Sorry.
And then people in the Discord on Twitter will be like, I sent a video. Where is it? And I'm like, I don't know. All I got is all these fucking Chartable Digest fucking emails.
You know, it's funny because I never thought like Tony's vision was that like that bad until the other
car with him.
No, until the other day when we were when we were playing the game and you and I are both like, Tony, to the fucking right, man. He's like, I don't see him. Where are they? And they're on his fucking screen. He's like, oh, I don't see him. They're right there. Right there. To your right. Nothing. His fucking scope goes over them and he's like, yeah, I don't see him.
I'm not the guy running past enemies to shoot at other people.
You gotta have priorities.
Told you I'm not good at these games.
Blast to play with, though.
Oh, such a hoot. Such a hoot. And it was a hoot this week. How you guys doing? How's everyone holding up?
Actually watched the Royal Rumble, and I enjoyed the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a good, yeah. Folks, if you are 20 minutes in live or listening in podcast form, this is a special edition. Tony watched the wrestling show.
Oh, it's not. All right, fine. I'll roll with it. Fuck it.
I mean, come on. If anybody watches the show, you know, you're usually in this mode for most of it.
No, that's not true. I watch wrestling. I just watch off the beaten corns path on your feet. Actually, I'm getting a few more, dude. I got to doing on my toes.
See them corn feet.
No, Kevin will throw up. See?
He said he was going to throw up before the show even started.
Oh, for real? Let's delve into this.
Nah, it was just a sports conversation. It's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Oh.
How are you doing, KJG?
Oh, you know, living the dream, having a good time, living life, doing the damn thing. Any other cliche answer you want? That's what I got for you. So, there it is. No, I'm good, man. Good. Everything was good. Uneventful weekend. Watched some football. Got some rest. Got some good, much needed sleep. So I'm good to go. Took out the recycling last night. That was huge.
I forgot last week, too. I didn't put the recycling out Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a big deal, man. When you forget to put out the recycling, shit backs up.
That's true. HK, how's things over there by you with your angry green grass photos you're sending to the group?
Yeah, I am still pissed off about the weather. It's going to be like 50 on Wednesday. This is fucking ridiculous. Tony, I'm in Minnesota. It should be like negative 10 right now, at least. And I should have snow somewhere. I could go outside and mow my lawn right now. It's absurd. Outside of that, pretty good. Pretty good. Had a great show on Friday. It was a lot of fun.
You sent us that picture of you and the old Leaf Cassidy.
Yeah, the man himself. Very, very nice guy. Second time I've met him. First time I've shared a locker room with him. But yeah, super nice guy. Complimented my promo. So that was fantastic. Big, pat on the back for me. I really appreciate it. Anytime I can get those type of compliments, it's always pretty huge.
Did he give you head?
No, he did not give me head. He gave somebody else head.
Ah!
Yeah, but not me.
Oh, fucking Petey Brown?
No. Petey Brown.
Downtown.
Actually, he separated his shoulder on Saturday.
Ah, oh, poor Petey Brown.
Didn't he just come back?
Yep.
Ah, oh, poor guy.
I tried to warn him.
Poor guy. Poor guy. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Poor Petey Brown.
Poor downtown Petey Brown. You know, I met Al Snow when I was in my youth at a convention. Mm-hmm. And he signed mine to Matt, my autograph, and I was with my younger brother. And for some strange reason, he signed my brother's autograph to Ben. My younger brother's name is Jesse. It's not even remotely close to Ben. So I don't know what was going on there, but it's always something I get a tickle out of when I break out the photo album and I flip to that 8x10.
I actually found two 8x10s that I got from him like 10 years ago that I completely forgot I had. Like, I had him sign one to me and then one to Molly as well. And I must have tucked them aside because, like, I'm going to give these to her, like, you know, later on. She'll appreciate it more when she knows a little bit more about wrestling. And I found them like 2 years ago, completely forgot that I had them. And I was like, hey, I got this for you. Like, 10 years ago.
So, Matt, even though Jesse, the autograph was made out to the wrong name, does Jesse still consider that, or do you still consider that an autograph to him?
Sure. I mean, I'm sure if you asked him, he'd say yes.
Yeah.
There's a photo, there's a photo that I took with a disposable camera of him, like, he would do this like weird thing where he'd like pull your head back. I don't know. It's weird.
I've seen that. Yes. Yeah, dude, he's still jacked as shit, Al Snowman.
Yes, he is.
To the guilds, as we say here on the show.
Oh, you know what arrived in the mail today?
What's that?
Plumbers don't wear underwear.
Fucking A, it did.
What's it fucking called?
Plumbers don't wear ties.
There you go, plumbers don't wear ties.
I open that shit up. It looks pristine. Yeah. Can't wait to play it.
What is it again? Some weird virtual fuck doll video game?
No, it was a video game that Hollywood starred in. Friend of the show, Hollywood. Made back in the 3DO days when the 3DO machines were a thing. Was it 3D? It was 3DO, CD. Oh, it was Philips CDI. It was like that whole
wasn't
time.
Wasn't 3DO
it,
like the Genesis thing that never took off?
No, that was
that 30, that was 32X.
Yeah, which still hasn't. Yeah, the 32X was the shits. The Saturn was the shits. The Dreamcast was a great system, but
incredible system. I have
it might not have been 3DO. It might have been CDI, but it was like
it was 3DO. It was,
but it was all like yeah,
yeah, 3DO interactive multiplayer.
So it was supposed to be like full motion video, but it was like just a lot of like still pictures. It's a shitty game, but they remastered it. They put in like videos, like they interviewed people like the Angry Video Game Nerd who did like a whole piece on it and stuff. Okay, so there's a bit more nostalgia that goes to it. But.
Okay, but I got to ask, Tony, because on Wikipedia it's described as an adult-oriented romantic comedy.
Yep.
What the like on fuck? What the fuck are you doing?
It's a part of history, and Hollywood was involved in it.
I get it, but what are you? Are you gonna play out this adult oriented romantic comedy video game? You
yes,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
100%. I was gonna say some could argue he makes it that when we play it, we get online and play the game together anyway. So, I mean, who's always bouncing around in a rabbit costume? Huh?
Yeah,
there's a whole fucking plot to this fucking game.
Matt does get creeped out that I'm always playing as women skins.
Yeah. Must be sexist.
Listen. I don't want to be a woman. Someone gave me a woman skin. I look like fucking Jem. I don't want to be Jem.
Like, you look like Peg
Bundy. I
want to
be something cool.
You're lucky we didn't get her the male doppelbanger.
He looks like Susan Summers with the thigh master. The
fucking thigh master.
Yep.
What is this? There's
what
like a
world
whole plot,
are you guys
whole,
living in right now?
Whole fucking story for this.
Yeah. He's a plumber. He goes out.
Thresher
he goes out to
will
find
seduce a... John, and the two will suddenly become a couple before the game tells the player that they should try again. If Jane accepts Thresher's offer of money, John is forced into marrying Amy, having three kids to please his mother. What are you doing with your life?
Wait, what?
I didn't know about marrying Amy. What was that? See, I've never played the game. I want to be surprised. Why are you spoiling
it? Oh, sorry. Sorry. Enjoy your fucking adult-oriented romantic comedy video game.
I mean, listen, is this isn't like Final Fantasy or Legend of Zelda, but it's got its merits.
I was going to say, is this like the precursor to like Grand Theft Auto? But like,
I think closer to Leisure Suit Larry, but yeah, in
yeah,
the same
probably,
thing.
Yeah.
None of those video games are described as adult-oriented romantic comedy.
But you still run over hookers and shit. It's so weird.
Something tells me you're not running over hookers in this game.
No, you're trying to marry, what's her name? Jeannie.
Yeah, John and Jane are trying to get married. Their parents want to find them a suitable partner for life, and they meet at 8 a.m. in the parking lot, and then the game just takes off. And there's a couple different bad endings. One, Jane ends up a prostitute. Spoiler alert.
Aww.
Well, you better do a good job then of getting Jane. Do you want me to get Hollywood back on the show so you guys can talk about?
Oh my God, I'd love nothing more.
About plumbers don't wear underwear or whatever the fuck it's called.
We talked about it last time she was on. It's the first thing I asked her about. Didn't even mention.
Okay, but now this
career.
Is the re-release. This is like a big deal.
I know. That's why I bought it. It's amazing.
So much excitement.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Snap into it.
Did you guys, so Tony said he watched the Rumble. Gentlemen, did you do anything special for the Royal Rumble?
I was waiting for you, KJG.
I was waiting for you.
All right.
Yeah, I went to Big Rich from Jersey house, a friend of the show, Big Rich McDonald, me, him, and also a friend of the show, past guest, KP Burke. We always try to watch the Rumble together. We've been doing so as best we could for the last few years. So went up to Randolph, watched the Rumble up there with Rich and KP. It was a good time.
Nice. HK?
Nothing special. Nothing special at all. Just watched it, just sat down and watched it in my favorite easy chair. Duke, though, Duke went down to Memphis, which he has done now for the last, I think this is his third or fourth year. He goes down to Memphis, and he watches it at Jerry the King's place.
Oh, nice. That's amazing.
Oh, nice. All the waitresses are 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Allegedly. Serving them up. It's allegedly.
What is the King barbecue? Does he do barbecue there?
No idea. I've never been down there.
All right. Was he there for the Rumble?
He was there. Or no, Duke was there. I don't know if Jerry was there.
Can you get a crown?
I'd have to ask Duke. I don't know.
Duke, where are you, buddy?
Handsome Kevin's gotten a few crowns the past couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, I have.
All right, so you watched it by yourself. That's kind of depressing. That makes
not at all. Not at all.
You like that?
Yeah.
T-Donk, what about you? Watch it with the boy and your wife?
King Jerry Lawler's Memphis, Tennessee Bar and Grill. He's got chicken wings, battle royal, nachos.
What's the signature dish?
Brawling Cajun gumbo?
What if I'm going there, what do I have to have, Tony?
This is what you have to have. They have the King's Famous Slam Burger. It's an all-beef burger with lettuce, tomato, and pickle. Server fries. He has a barbecue bologna sandwich.
Nice. Is it brown? I can't imagine
that's any good. I would assume it's
barbecue. Have you ever fried bologna? Dude, it's
bologna
awesome.
Bologna sandwich?
Yeah, but a barbecued bologna?
Put bologna on the grill? Oh, I'm all about it.
Nope.
I wonder why this guy had a heart attack on Raw.
I mean, it's like a Friday's menu. It's got mushrooms, pork rinds, mozzarella sticks, tenders. Oh, catfish bites. Mississippi catfish.
Can I make a suggestion here?
Who, for me?
I say we start a GoFundMe. We completely destroy Kevin Garifo's life. We rip him out of West Orange. Send him there. He's the greeter. And every time you walk in, he just goes, I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the king of this restaurant.
Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king. I'm the king of Memphis BBQ. Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king.
Come on, Jerry. What are you doing? Hire this kid. We're just going to rip his life up. Throw him back to Memphis.
Website is
put me in your will, too, by the
way. It's lawlersonbeal.com. I guess it's on Beale Street, but that's a fucking terrible website. But that's a terrible website name.
Yeah, of course it is.
Dude, he's a legend. He doesn't need to advertise.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of knows, like, that's Jerry's place.
Yeah. Damn, that's what you should have called it.
Jerry's place?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It'd work.
Or the King's place. The King's castle. That's a little
unless he was thinking about expanding and that's why he named it on Beale, but whatever.
I would like to go.
Well, odds are there's probably a Beale Street somewhere else. Is it a fancy boulevard, Tony?
I don't know. They just had a neon sign outside. The place looks kind of nice. Like, it's all decked out, like, bar style. Neon signs.
Wood. Oh, the menu I pulled up has a picture of him from, like, the 70s.
Nice.
With his menu?
His little crown on his head.
Does he have a kid's menu?
I don't see one here.
Stop,
yes!
Stop.
It's called... It's called Lil Wrestlers. They got chicken tendies, mac and cheese, mini corn dogs, grilled cheese, and a slam burger slider. All for under $7.
Fuck yeah.
Not a big menu, though.
No, it's typical bar fare, you know.
Shouldn't
that.
Have a big menu.
That's also
is there
true.
Is there a kiss my foot long?
He should have a menu.
I got a footlong for you to kiss.
That's a great question, KJG. No, kiss my footlong. Maybe as a special.
Al has an answer for you. There's a Lawler's Barbecue franchise in the South that's not Jerry's. That's why it's Lawler's on Beale.
Ah, somebody beat Jerry to the punch.
Yeah.
And someone beat him on Crown Chicken, too.
It's very smart. Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, so Tony, you watched the Rumble by yourself, or did you watch it with the wife and the kid? Or
yeah, I watched it a little bit with the kid. Then I took a break to play some Fortnite, and then I went back to watching it.
Yeah, so you didn't watch the whole show then?
No, I watched the whole show. Of course I watched the whole show.
Well, when did you take a break? Wait, what's the break?
I didn't watch the Kevin Owens match live, but I went back and watched it on Sunday. Okay. Before football.
Yeah. Okay.
The way you said that made him sound like such a loser.
Wow.
So you watched the Rumble by yourself?
I wasn't trying to.
I didn't hear it that way at all.
Oh, I spit my drink out. That was incredible.
I'll have to go back and listen to my cadence. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to make you feel like a lonely boy.
Well, not only that, but you chastised me for taking a break to play Fortnite. I mean,
you know. Well, I don't know. You just said you watched the Rumble and you took a break to play Fortnite?
Yeah, fuck that. My boy Vince was awake, so him and I got in a game. And then I went back to watching the Rumble.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I went to old Bacon's house for the Royal Rumble.
Oh, how's he doing?
Great. Great. They do the pot. Everyone shows up. You put $10 in the pot, and then you draw your numbers.
Did you win?
No, but my guy made it. Was the one of the final three in the Rumble. I got lucky, and I drew Gunther. And then the Women's Rumble, I drew Becky. I had multiple drawings. And then if your guy eliminates somebody, whoever has the person that's eliminated has to give you $1.
Oh.
This sounds way too fucking complicated.
No, it's very easy.
Take that guy. Like the NCAA pools where, like, if your team, like, loses, then you get that team. Or, like, if you're, you know what I mean? So yeah. that wasn't the case, yeah.
No, it was if your guy eliminates, man or woman eliminates somebody, you get $1 from the person that got eliminated. So it was good. Bacon had all these people over. Shout out to my guy Dom. I know you're listening. I plugged the Wizards hard. I made everybody. I actually was so convinced Gunther was going to win. I told them when I win the pot, I would give everybody their money back if they followed the Shining Wizards on social media. They all did, and I didn't win, so they didn't get shit.
You didn't give them the money back anyway.
I didn't win, so I didn't have any money to give them.
Venmo, baby.
Easy. Don't give them any ideas. I don't need them actually listening.
I did see that great picture
money.
of your friends wearing the shirts. That was pretty
They were great. Everybody showed up wearing Shining Wizard shirts. What a nice group of people. And you know what? It was great to watch. Sometimes I think when we watch a wrestling show, like with other wrestling fans who are like too in it, it kind of takes the fun out of it. But it was just nice to watch it with a bunch of non-wrestling fans and wrestling fans who don't have wrestling podcasts, where they just kind of enjoyed the show for what it was.
So how does that come about? Like, how do you watch a wrestling pay-per-view with non-wrestling fans?
So, one of Bacon's best friend is not a wrestling fan, but he goes to the Rumble party every year because he enjoys the whole gambling aspect of it.
Did you give him a number for a hotline or
no? It's only a couple bucks, and ironically enough, he won both. He had the luck of the draw. He won both the men and the women's.
And is that his house?
No, this was at Bacon's house.
Hmm. Was pork roll there too?
No, Kevin met Bacon. We went to the AEW show with Bacon in Newark.
I like Bacon.
Yeah, Bacon's a good guy. So it was fun. Yeah. The Rumble was fantastic. Look, I don't know how you guys feel about the Rumble, but we're going to find out right now. Talk a little Royal Rumble. Well, you want to start with the ladies? Do you want to start with picks?
Match of the night, I think.
The ladies Rumble? Match.
I think so.
I agree.
There was a part in the middle where it really started to drag, but Jordynne Grace was a nice surprise. They actually like let her shine, which was awesome. My girl, she's back. She was awesome. I think she was in there for like almost an hour as well.
Yes.
Bro, this is why they built up Nia Jax for the past couple of weeks. Yeah. Fucking Jade, babe. You can't have a better debut than Jade got in this Rumble. Amazingly well played. Everything was perfect to the point where fucking Becky Lynch was there with her mouth open and she couldn't believe it. The fucking pickup and the slam, just manhandling her, flexing while she had her in the air. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. And God bless Bayley. Her and her shit locker are going to WrestleMania. Love it.
Yeah. And the finish was perfectly done too. Liv Morgan giving, I think her finisher is the obliteration or something weird like that. It's a play on Liv, but it's a move that she did on the apron and eliminated Jade, and then Bayley in total swarm heel character totally just kicked her out like, boom, you're done. and now I'm going to WrestleMania. There was absolutely nothing about this match that I did not like. Little botchy at first, but I'm not nitpicking on this match. It was too good to nitpick on.
I enjoyed the majority of the match. There are some things that I didn't care for, like Tony said. Like after a little bit, there was a little bit of a downtime in it. Grace looked amazing. She always does, but it was so nice to see her on, and no disrespect to TNA, but on a much larger stage, just to see, you know what I mean, how it would work out for her. And I think it worked out great. She looked amazing. What they did with Jade was outstanding. Dupree, for as beautiful as she is, she can't wrestle a lick, and it's just,
she's the shits.
It's super disappointing. Loved seeing Liv back. The other thing, God, I just fucking lost my train of thought. There was something else that was in there.
R-Truth,
that's what it was. The R-Truth. So I fucking, that R-Truth spot was hilarious, but to lead to it having Valhalla eliminated in like no time at all. That part of it sucked. Like that, it was hilarious what they did, but for that to play into her being in the ring for whatever it was, 10 seconds. That part of it was I didn't like.
Who eliminated her though? It had to have been someone.
It's Nia. Important. I think it's Nia.
Yeah. So all right. So to me, that's not as big a deal. If it was anybody else that eliminated her, and they could have done a better job of like showing the elimination, but that happens every year. They miss stuff. And and Matt, we'll get your feedback right now. And there was a lot of cool spots. The Nia Jack, Ivy Niles, double suplex stuff was a lot of fun. And a lot of Royal Rumbles do have downtime. It's just par for the course when you have an hour plus long match. So I think I'm going to go like 85 to 90% of this match was gold, and only 10% you'd probably want to have back.
Yeah, this was awesome. I was very happy that we did not get a Kelly Kelly, we did not get a Summer Rae. It's they're so stacked, and this applies to the men's too. Although I do have, you know, the Pat McAfee thing was goofy, and we'll get to that when we talk the men's Rumble.
Dumb as shit.
Jordan Grace being there is awesome. I love that there's still a relationship with TNA. And to echo what Tony said, like, she looked great. She looks like $1 million. Like, this was a no-brainer. The Bianca, Jade, when they were both pressing women and walking towards the middle of the ring, was a fucking sick spot. And then I don't know if you saw, there was an awesome picture on social media. It is Liv, Bianca, Jade.
Yeah.
They're all sitting against the barricade looking up at Bayley as she's winning. And it's just like a perfect shot of kind of the future of the women's division in the WWE. So I think that was awesome. Roxanne Perez was there. That was great.
Oh, yeah. She did an awesome job, too.
Chelsea Green was fucking hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
The shit that with Piper Niven was great.
And the whole time they kept fucking, she kept falling into moves and shit. Yeah, that was very well done. Very well done.
Piper Niven with that awesome Kong tribute gear looked like.
Yeah, it was just a great Rumble, and Bayley winning it is awesome, because there's that story they're gonna tell, you know, on the road to WrestleMania. And I don't think she goes after Rhea. I think it's a whole like Batista and Evolution type of deal. Thumbs up, thumbs down, baby.
Mm-hmm.
When Kerry Sane was doing that very impressive hanging on to the side of the ring situation, and she fell off, and then Asuka was on the outside, and she said, "Eliminate me." Does anybody know where that spot was eventually going to go?
No,
maybe she was going to try to save her. I don't. She was in a very tough spot to get picked up from. You know?
Yes, like, it was just her staying on the side of the ring like that was super impressive, but you saw that she fell off, and then Asuka just called for her to get eliminated as well. So I don't know where they were going to. I couldn't really piece that together.
Yeah, I didn't really dive that deep into it to try to get the nuance of that of what happened there. It was just I'm not gonna lie to you, I didn't even notice it till you said it.
Oh, it was a super impressive spot. Super impressive for her to be.
Oh no, the spot. Yeah. But the eliminate me thing, I didn't hear.
Yeah, Asuka got back up on the, like, she stood up on the apron, and she said, you know, she yelled at him, said, "Eliminate me."
Okay.
So I just didn't know if anybody had heard anything as to where that was supposed to be going or anything like that.
No, but I did hear about some things going somewhere in the men's Royal Rumble.
Well, Bayley took home the Iron Man an hour, 3 minutes, 3 seconds. Naomi, Tony, was right behind her, an hour, 2 minutes, 18 seconds. With a Bianca, 47 minutes, 46 seconds. So
yeah. And Bailey eliminated seven, but Nia was the diesel push. She had eight.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't think the Naomi Jordan Grace spot should be overlooked because that was so fantastic. They hug and then they immediately just start beating the shit out of each other. That was incredible. Like, yeah. Like, and you know what? The crowd popped for it. And that kind of tells you, like, TNA doesn't have the biggest audience in the world, but the people down there knew. Like, they knew who Jordan Grace was. They knew the history between her and Naomi. And the fact that they go and they're very happy with the moment. They hug. And then all of a sudden, they just go, like, they knew. Like, hey, well, now it's time to beat the shit out of each other. And they did it, and it was phenomenal.
Motsless, just want to hit the people in the chat who are hanging out. Marking out, it is Oblivion with the live in the middle of Oblivion in all caps. Mott Spock agrees that Jade and Bianca lift off stare down was fucking great. Alan Day throwing his boy HK under the bus, thought about Liv and lost his train of thought, about to get kicked off of Molly's lawn. Scott George, Liv wore Christina Aguilera gear from her Dirty video.
Yes,
she very did. Good point. I thought that may have been a tribute to Ashley Massaro, but that's 100% more
Wanna
accurate.
Get dirty.
She was dressed up like a slutty teacher.
Marking out, Tiffany Stratton looking like a vet. Brendan Haney. Jade and Bianca versus Asuka and Sane at Mania. Book it.
That's got potential.
You might want to do that to protect Jade, I guess. But, I guess that's as good a match as any if you want to protect Jade and make sure that she doesn't do too much in a big spot like that.
So Bailey's on her way to Mania. They followed up with the four-way. Which I thought was a fine match, but I'm over the Solo Sikoa spot.
100%. It's 100%.
It's been done to death in the last year. Like, it's fucking enough. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I just don't like the Fatal 4-Ways anymore either. I don't like that there's no disqualification. I think if you fuck around, you find out you get eliminated and that's it.
That's a good idea.
I'm tired of it as well.
Yeah,
They did it in New Japan. What, two Wrestle Kingdoms ago, it was a triangle for the tag titles, and one team got caught cheating, and they threw him out of the match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's done before. They just got to fucking make it a thing. And before anybody jumps on the bandwagon, I don't want any fucking triple threat matches for any fucking titles at WrestleMania this year. Can we do them as just fucking one-on-ones and be done with it? Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
I don't know now, man.
HK, I'm sorry. You were going to...
Yeah.
Oh no! What? So I'm completely done with that Solo run spot as well. It's just it's been just a little too much to this point. The match itself, I didn't really have too many issues with. It was fine for what it was. I hated the placement of it. I think that all four ways should be done Fatal 4-Way elimination style. I really do. I think it's silly to have him one fall to a finish. And with that one fall to the finish, LA Knight laid across Randy Orton for what? 20, 30, minute and a half?
It was a while.
And the referee's not counting shit. So
both of their shoulders are down. That's why.
Is that what they said?
Yeah. Corey Graves said because both men's shoulders were down, the referee wouldn't count the pin.
I didn't catch that part of
it. But they've still done that before, and then someone usually would have to like raise their shoulder to record the victory or something like that.
Yeah, I hated that part of the match. I didn't hate the finish of the match, but the Solo stuff was completely unnecessary. It did nothing but it just like, hey, we're gonna hit replay on this spot again. So it was fine.
Yeah, they go to the well a lot with it. I mean, look, I'm with you with the fatal four ways. But that was the story going in, like Roman wasn't going to defend his title and then all this nonsense. And the aesthetically, the idea is he can lose it without being pinned.
Yes.
We knew it wasn't going to happen. And they set up a lot of stuff for Mania. I think you're going to get Roman and Sikoa, and I think you're going to get LA Knight, AJ Styles, with the way it ended and AJ knocking LA Knight out of the ring and AJ eating the pin.
Wait. You think we're going to get Roman and Sikoa at WrestleMania?
Randy Sikoa. Excuse me. Randy Sikoa. So it was fine for what it was. Same thing, Logan Paul, Kevin Owens was... I liked the finish of that match.
I did too. Something same. Different, something creative.
Now you're going to have like the purists who say a DQ on a pay-per-view or PLE is never like the way to go. But I really thought it was cool. Like this time, like he got away with it again. Like Logan Paul got away with it again. And because of Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, it backfired initially, obviously, with Kevin Owens.
And that whoever that dude is, that one of his cronies who jumped the guardrail.
Yeah.
Guardrail.
Yeah. Because he's the one that did it, I think, the first time, right? He handed it to.
Yeah, he did it when he beat Ray in, where was it? Saudi?
Yeah. Somewhere. Speaking of that, where is Elimination Chamber? Is that in Saudi Arabia or is that in Australia?
Australia.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why. I saw a commercial at the Rumble that's saying that February 24th, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Yep. There was a Saudi Arabia commercial, but it's for...
Oh, by the way, did you like the Hulkster's St. Pete Clearwater commercials? Hogan working for the St. Pete Travel Board.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Dude, it was
coming
so
out on the beautiful beaches of Clearwater, dude.
I don't know.
Stop
man.
In for some Hulkaroos, brother.
You're gonna get some Hulkaroos.
I'm gonna get Hulkaroos, Hulk U's, mac and cheese, dude, with a side of bread.
It was cool. I had like a moment where I was like, this fucking dickhead's gonna be in the fucking Rumble, isn't he?
Who?
The Hulkster brother. Thank God he
was. No, no way. He can't even fucking walk anymore.
Oh, like it was such an outlandish thing to see the Hulkster in the ring. Fucking Ric Flair's running around chopping Hobbs and Sting's taking fucking suplexes off the Titantron in AEW and then brother coming in. You know, going out under the bottom rope and calling it a day is completely out of the realm of possibility.
They would have had to have him win it because they can't.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like Iron Sheik in the gimmick battle royal.
You get a Hulkster and Roman at Mania.
Actually, you know what? Like on paper, like in your mind's eye, I would see Hogan versus Reigns.
So that, and I think Mark announced it at the opening. They're opening an interactive event or something in Saudi, experience immersive attraction set to debut in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, January 2024. It'll be a WWE experience.
Yeah, that was the commercial because at the end it was WWE experience. So I guess.
Right. And then a head rolled across the bottom of the screen.
That's right.
What?
Snow's going to be there, guys.
What, Tony? Let's not pretend they're not still cutting journalists' heads off over there. Come on.
Yeah, but that's not part of the WWE experience. That's a...
Well, it depends on who you ask, buddy.
Yeah, and depends on how much you pay.
You got to pay extra for that.
That's right.
A lot of NDAs out there. We've only... It's just the tip of the iceberg, buddy.
All right, Royal Rumble.
The men's Royal Rumble. So I told you we did that goof. I drew one, and I knew I fucking knew it. We drew the numbers, and I had three numbers, and I drew one, and I go, this is going to be Demolition Axe, Demolition Smash all over again. And this useless Jey Uso comes out at number one. He spent almost an hour in there at one elimination. You're fucking useless to me, Jey Uso. I was expecting some fucking ducats. Sorry, I was hot about that. We got the return of Andrade, which was cool.
Yeah, except for his getup. What the fuck was he wearing when he
came out? Except for his getup. What do you got a problem with his getup for?
What the fuck was that?
He's a L.I.J. Los in Grenobles.
Oh, yeah. Good for him. Grenobles. He was fine. Skull. I think he did a great job, but the fucking outfit was dumb. I don't know.
I mean, he only wore it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was still dumb.
Did you like that, or did you like, God, what's her name? Forget her name now. From LWO.
Zelina
Vega's gimmick.
She's got to be playing some video game character. That's what she does, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So who was it?
No idea.
Me either. The people I was watching the show who weren't wrestling fans knew exactly who it was.
Was it like Colossus? No. Who's the I know who it is.
It's not Galactus. If that's what you're thinking.
No, I don't even know what that is.
Let me text the group. Let me pull up a picture and then send a.
It's like a purple guy who has like stuff. I think
it's not Thanos.
You really narrowed it down, Kev.
That's right.
Purple guy with
guy with stuff. What do you got in the fridge? The purple stuff. Sunny D.
Sunny D.
By the way, Sonny D, absolutely fucking gross.
What?
Sonny D is disgusting.
Sonny D is incredible. I used
no,
to
it's
drink
not. It's like orange juice with heavy cream in it. It's fucking gross.
You are out of your balls.
Nope. 100%. I will die on that hill. Sonny D
can
get these
nuts. I used to chug it. I used to chug it.
Of course you did.
Funneling a beer.
I could tell.
That's right.
Apparently it was a Tekken character.
Who?
No. Wonderful.
A character from Tekken or Overwatch. Yes.
Well, which is it, Tekken or Overwatch?
I don't fucking know.
I don't give a shit either. Who cares?
Well, you asked.
Should have dressed like Pele.
Pele?
Yes, Pele. A
who's
fucking Pele? Brazilian soccer star.
Wait, what's a Pele?
Yeah.
Pele, Fortnite.
They have names? You're a fucking dork, dude. Jesus Christ.
Pele's like the most iconic character in the game. He's a fucking banana.
He's a banana and his name is
yes.
Pele. That's
well,
real.
Duh. Weird. What else would you fucking name your banana?
I don't know. Banana Man.
That's not as good.
No, I kind of like Banana Man.
Scott George says Tekken 8 inspired gear.
Good. She should have skipped 1 through 7.
She should have taken it off earlier.
We got Andrade coming back. We saw Omos. Braun Breaker.
Omos.
Braun Breaker, who apparently was in the Brock Lesnar spot. That's all the
minus
reports
the
are saying.
Really? You don't think he was going to be in there anyway?
Nope. 100% no.
Yeah, I don't think he was either.
Didn't he also say that the main roster is his home now?
Yep. Yep. Good for him.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It came down to Claymore, Punk, Cody, and Gunther. Those were your final four. I don't know. It was pretty uneventful, the Rumble itself, until we got down to the nitty-gritty. No?
Yeah, there was a lot more excitement, I thought, in the women's match. Not that the men's match was bad, but yeah. You didn't like Pat McAfee coming in and being afraid of Omos?
I fucking hate it. I hated it. I hated it. Hated it. I hate that spot to begin with.
Right.
First of all, I thought I read somewhere that he really genuinely had no idea that he was going to be in the Rumble.
If that's the case, that's hysterical. If that's the case, that's fucking hysterical.
They fucking ribbed him. Like, bad.
Which is absolutely hilarious.
Yep.
But to his credit, too, if that is true, which, I mean, I've read it multiple places as well. If that is true and he did what he did, great play by him.
Oh, yeah,
great,
100%.
Great, especially to get back in the ring and they go, oh, no, you're right. I'm going to leave.
He was like, nah, you know what? I'm getting in. And then he's like, nah, I'm leaving.
Yep.
I kind of disagree with how he played it, to be honest with you. Because, again, assuming as I'm watching this live, I'm not thinking that it's a rib on him. I'm thinking that he's number whatever. And they just literally did the night before on SmackDown have people draw numbers. So if he was in the Rumble, wouldn't he know his number? Like, wouldn't he know that he was in the Rumble? So the fact that he played it off like such a surprise was mind-boggling to me. And the fact that he walked in through the ropes but then went back out over the top rope. Like, I get it. You want to eliminate yourself because Omos is there and Braun Breaker is there. But I'm with Matt. To me, it was that part, and I love Pat McAfee. That was a fart in church to me, man.
You're out of your fucking balls, dude. No, okay. I liked it, and I could completely see them having 30 numbers in the tumbler and only 29 guys drawing it, and then there was one left. They said, "Hey, McAfee, you're up."
They didn't explain it that way.
I was I don't know that when you get down to like the last five guys, there's an excitement, right? And we were looking for like a Sheamus return, right?
Yeah,
bro.
Oh, I got you.
Ricochet at fucking 28. I was like, oh, this fucking loser. Jesus Christ.
What? A lot of people shitting on Sammy being number 30 as well.
I didn't mind.
I didn't either.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a few weeks.
Yeah,
I didn't like Ricochet at 28.
Would you rather have Kevin Nash?
No, give me Sheamus. Give me Hornswoggle. I don't fucking care. Not Ricochet. Jim
Finley. He just needs a guy from over there.
Please.
Oh, my God. All right. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What if number 30, Microman?
Oh, God.
I watched Selena again. I got recommended the video where the fucking bag is rolled around on the desk and she goes, shut up. And she fucking hits it.
Mark and Out is right. The truth hot tag was top tier. That was fucking funny.
Was oh, great. Yeah, with Dom? Yeah.
And the fact that Dom actually made the tag was incredible.
Yeah. And then R-Truth stopped The Miz from hitting Damian Priest or Dom.
Dom, yeah.
That was very funny, too. But we got, I took the bait on the SI report, and I gambled. It's early enough in the pick season where I could gamble, but only one person ran the table at the Royal Rumble.
Brundin?
That was Brundo.
Fuck yeah, Brundin!
Tony and KJG came in at 3-1, me and HK 2-2. I lost both Rumbles. I took Becky to win the Women's Rumble, and I took Gunther to win the Men's.
So, HK, this was like the toughest, like the two Rumble matches were the toughest for me to pick, to the point where I literally flipped the coin on both Rumbles,
mm-hmm.
and they landed on Cody and Becky.
Gotcha.
So, like, and I know I was saying Cody the entire time should have won, but the closer I got to it, I really thought CM Punk had a chance, like a legit, true, like, honest to God chance. And it was a tough one to pick, man.
It was, you know, it was very tough to pick for me as well. And I think that, like, I was always kind of in my mind, it was a Bayley and Nia situation. Just ultimately, I figured that Bayley was the safer of the two picks. But when it came to Cody and Punk, I did the same thing that Matt did. I just thought, way overthought the reports that I was reading about them taking, you know what I mean, taking a different route with Cody. And I went, all right, well, then CM Punk. You know, I thought about changing my pick. Like, I talked to Tony earlier in the day. I was like, I might even still change that.
Right.
I think that, like, my thought was, if you're going to have somebody sneak in at Elimination Chamber, you're probably better off doing it with Cody than with Punk. Just because then Cody would be like that much more hungry, that much more vicious, and having him come out on top at the Elimination Chamber, like you almost feel like he really would have fucking earned it if he did it that way, because he would have to survive in the cage with five other animals who really want that second chance, you know?
Yeah. It would add a lot more adversity to his story.
Yeah, look, they played that Punk Cody promo Monday night, like,
yep.
Cody Rhodes saying he's more CM Punk than CM Punk, and CM Punk saying he's more Dusty Rhodes. And that's like, you know, if you believe everything you read, like, that was the one thing Cody didn't want in any of his promos. Don't bring up my father. So for them to go there, like, I was like, all right, like, this is, they're laying they laid great groundwork to make it to a point where anything was possible.
I also felt like, when Cody first started walking to the ring, he was either really serious or he had like boo-boo job face on. And then all of a sudden, like after about 4 or 5 seconds, then he lit up and he was like, yeah, we're going to do it. But that first couple of seconds, I was like, maybe he's not winning this thing. He looked like he didn't really want to be there when he first walked out. You
Is
know?
Cody known as a guy that gets boo-boo job face? Is he like a James Storm? He doesn't
No,
get
but
that.
Like he didn't come out of there like a house of fire. Like, yeah, we're going to fucking do this. You know, like he just walked out and he just like was like, eh. And then all
I think he was
like,
waiting for the, I think he was waiting for the, whoa.
No, because then he lit up before that. And then he started shaking and doing his shit. And then when he turned around, he did it. So, yeah, I don't know. It just felt weird the way he started walking out. So,
serious code mode. Yeah. Code mode, as I call it.
We got Cody pointing right at Roman Reigns, who's in the skybox with the wise man. Seth was enjoying himself and the other one. As KJG has stated, it's time to finish the story.
Please, so for the love of freaking God.
Yeah, I think they'd be out of their fucking minds if they didn't finish the story at WrestleMania this year.
They have to, right?
Because you can't have Cody lose 2 years in a fucking row. Well, you can't.
Unless he wins next year, too.
Oh, see the fucking goal. Buffalo Bills now? Jesus Christ.
Dude, you know, you know they love the numbers. Who's going to be the first one ever to win three?
Well, Stone Cold was. But
in a row. Yeah. In a row. Nozzles.
Come on, man. You got to explain yourself. By the way, eliminations, no one really ran the table, but Cody and Bron Breakker both had four. So there was that. And Jey Uso got the longevity award, just over 50 minutes, followed by Cody at 43. Nice. So there's that.
Dude, there's something about Jey Uso. I mean, I know Matt hates him.
No, I don't hate him. I was annoyed that he could have had at least more than one elimination being in there for almost an hour. I would, you know, a couple bucks wouldn't have hurt.
No, of course. But just his entrance and like 40,000 people doing that thing, like I'm telling you, like I'm a Jey Uso guy now. Like I don't really care for the yeet, but I'm all about Jey Uso. And I'm all about Jimmy Uso too. Like, do you see like Jimmy Uso's expressions, his facial expression when he came out? And Jey Uso, as soon as they hit his music, he was mid like amped up. And then as soon as Jimmy's music hit, Jey like immediately just looked and just knew what was up. And I thought that was, I mean, we all knew it was going to happen. Like, we all knew it was going to be Jimmy and Jey that were going to start. Once Jey started, at least. Right?
Do you guys think it's weird that the Elimination Chamber is like a week from the Rumble? Like, it's next weekend.
No, that's Vengeance Day, isn't it?
Yeah,
Vengeance Day is the 4th and Elimination Chamber is the 5th.
Really?
Wait, what?
I believe so, no?
Isn't the 5th a Monday?
No, maybe. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Disregard.
It's February 24th, bro.
I said disregard.
You were way off. They got to fly to Australia yet.
It doesn't take fucking 3 weeks to fly to Australia.
If it does, if you got SmackDown Live on Friday.
Ding dong. All right. Well, I fucked that up. Yeah. Dummy. Yeah. Vengeance is next week. We will be picking Vengeance. We saw
what is Vengeance?
NXT Vengeance. Donk.
Is that a PLE?
Yeah, the PLE.
That trick.
Yeah,
from Clarksville, Tennessee.
Take the light. I will meet you at the station.
So we looks like we're gonna get Cody Roman, and it was, you know, we assumed it was gonna be Seth and the Punkster, but. It looks like CM Punk is hurt again.
Well, Seth's hurt too, so fuck them both.
Yeah, but CM Punk apparently is going to have, the rumors are he's going to have surgery.
Well, that sucks.
Because he tore his tricep.
No, I mean, the same thing happened to Cody when he came back, right?
No, but I think that was a bicep tear, and he wrestled the match against Seth. Because there was no further damage that could have possibly been done.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, he wound up being on the shelf for like 9 months after that, too. You know,
right? But at least he had a match still. And this is just bad, Matt. This is as bad as it gets. This is like awful.
That's his whole return has been this AEW return and now WWE return. He was hurt twice in AEW, like where he had to relinquish the title.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Don't forget, that whole brawl out thing, like, he was hurt after that, and then, what, he did the thing where he jumped in the crowd, and he broke the bone in his foot, and he had to give up the title for that.
He's
injury prone.
And then he got hurt. He got hurt again, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe he did.
I don't know. Because of the way they set it up last week, you can easily pivot to Gunther and Seth.
Right.
Or even Drew and Seth.
Per the New York Post an hour ago, CM Punk will be out 4 to 6 months.
Right.
Just in time for Survivor Series.
SummerSlam, probably.
Yeah. Oh, SummerSlam.
Yeah. Hold on. First challenger for Cody? You think November's 4 to 6 months away?
Yeah, 6 months.
November is 6 months from January.
Yeah.
Dude, it's 11.
No.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, but we don't know if he's leaving yet.
Leaving
where?
You don't know if he's getting surgery. Does he need surgery?
New York Post just said expected recovery time, and they didn't say with or without surgery is 4 to 6 months.
They didn't say with or without, so if he can get surgery and come back in like 2 months.
Is this a bit? Are you doing a bit right now and just not listening?
Right, like if he has surgery, he'll come back quicker because he's already fixed, right?
Scott George says, ESPN said SummerSlam is expected return.
Oh, now they don't know how to count.
That's a good point.
No, their counting seems like it would be right in tune with July and
August.
Nah,
you're all fucking with me. It's all conspiracy.
Yes. Yes, a lot of conspiracies going around these days.
Let Brundon enjoy his fucking win.
Now, Tony, you said like you hate picks, right?
So I do. Like, I've been saying it for 5 fucking years.
Now, I know you don't get out of the house a lot, and I know
that's
you, but
bullshit.
you could have gone the Michael K show route and changed up the picks and just said everyone just picks 3 matches of pay-per-view and they put a point value to them.
No. No. Why would I want to complicate something that I can't stand?
You wouldn't have to pick a whole pay-per-view. You would only have to pick 3 matches yourself.
Now, what if I would have said that the Royal Rumble winner got 30 points? Fucking Brundon would have been untouchable.
No, you don't get to do 30 points. It's just 1, 2, or 3.
Why? He beat 29 other guys. He should get 29 points.
No, stop, stop, stop. This is like the fucking Royal Rumble game last week. You're just throwing shit against the wall to see if it'll stick with your weird points.
Well, I don't know why you're telling me, like, oh, if you would have given a point.
Matt's happy rolling tonight.
I got KGG on the. It's like, I'm the funny guy tonight. Look at it.
Apparently.
Do you remember how shitty that was, Tony?
No, I don't even know what he said.
I'm with you, Tony. I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
You have to listen back. Listen back.
No,
listen
I'm not
replay.
Listening back.
What do you mean you're not going to listen back? Because
just
to
like
the show?
Picks, I hate your fucking jokes. How you like them apples?
All right. I mean, that's fair.
I didn't even hear it. Oh, fuck you. Listen back, asshole. We're laughing at your expense. Fuck off. You didn't hear it?
I can't do anything if you're hearing shit. I don't know what to tell you. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Go fuck Michael K. What do you want me to tell you? You and your point system. Stick it up your hiney hole.
Look, I was just saying, you could have presented an alternative to lessen your hate for the picks.
No, I'm going to hate them no matter what.
Really?
Yeah, and it annoys me that I win every year on top of it.
It's like when creative goes to a wrestler and says, hey, we want to do this with you, and they say no, and then you don't present another idea for what you want
to
do.
Oh, I can't wait
to
come up with fucking KJG's punishment. Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, damn, I take that back.
He did, Tony, before you did join us, he is like, he gave us some ammunition. He's such a sports fan that the idea of rooting for another team
in
the same division makes him want to throw up.
That's right.
So, you know, if you were to say make him wear a Rangers jersey, that would hurt him. That would hurt his soul. Because he's such a big Devils fan.
That's an expensive punishment. Can I get like a t-shirt if you do that?
I might just make him do a show barefoot and keep his feet on screen for 3 hours.
No, never, never, never.
How can you say never to a punishment?
He says never to everything.
Fucking punishment.
Yeah, you are.
I control
the loser.
My story.
No, you don't.
I mean,
no, you don't. You won't eat anything, so that's off right. The table. We can't do bamboozled, hot or not, shit or spit, whatever the weird games Tony's got lined up for us. Right? Okay, so that's fair. So we have to go a different route. You know, feed up is not the worst thing. I mean, it'd be an uncomfortable position for you. Because I don't think you have like a – I think you're sitting on like a metal folding chair.
I sure am.
So that would hurt, you know. I
just
I can't.
Put the camera on your feet for 3 hours. That's all.
Feet.
So I'm talking, but the view is
yes.
Just like
feet cam. Right. Oh, you could draw
feet.
A little face
oh,
on your feet.
And have one of your nieces paint your toenails too.
Or I could do it myself.
No, it's funnier if one of your nieces do it.
I'm not putting my nieces on the podcast.
No, you have to have
you
them
haven't
come
done
over
beforehand.
And, yeah. You could be like a spa day for KJG. You go over to your brother's house. They paint your toes all nice and pretty. Not doing it. Oh, that'd be great. That's brilliant. See? No fun. No fun.
I know,
This is why I hate picks.
Doesn't get the bit. You shouldn't apologize. You should just suck it up, buttercup, and do it.
I'm going to buy marital aids, and I'm going to name them after Brian Myers.
easy over there. It's no laughing matter.
I don't even get that.
Woo, woo, woo. Wait, woo, woo. Wait, yeah, like this, yeah. Woo, woo, woo.
This gives a whole new meaning to shock the system.
man.
System's huge.
System is huge.
Oh, yeah.
So we signed off last week, and we all went about our business and did our thing, and we woke up Tuesday morning to some pretty crazy news. Monday Night Raw is moving to Netflix, a 10-year, $5 billion TV rights deal. How do you guys feel about this this new venture in 2025?
They're making that fucking money, man. They're making that money.
I guess they got to get Netflix.
How do you say no to that? $5 billion just to air your program live. That's insane.
I was happy to see that it was somebody that kind of came out of left field. I mean, like, I don't remember reading anybody that said, hey, Netflix might be a possibility. I do love that it became a possibility. I do love, like, I think that they'll have, if they want to take an edgier turn to the show, I think that's much more achievable through Netflix than it is from a traditional network. So that part should be very interesting to me. The other thing is that their deal with USA, what does it expire in September? Is that right?
I think November. I think you're right. There's like a 2-month gap that they're going to have.
6 months from now.
So, yes. Yeah. So just what they'll be doing in the meantime will be kind of interesting in that little, you know, 2-3 month period before they move over to Netflix.
They'll probably just be streaming, probably, right? Like on YouTube, maybe, like you would think. Or Hulu. Do they still have a Hulu deal?
I don't know if they have a Hulu. Hulu's not, I think it's a week later, isn't it?
They'll probably do YouTube then for that time period, if they have to.
Right.
Or they could just run best ofs and just run everything on SmackDown for a couple of weeks.
Dude, and I want to hit HK's point about becoming more edgy, and Matt, tell me if you agree, or Tony. They don't need to become more edgy. Their product is hitting on all cylinders right now, that they don't even need to do it if they don't have to or want to.
Right. So, I agree they don't need to. But what I'm saying is that if they wanted to, it's a little bit easier route to take now on a place like Netflix as opposed to a network.
And you think, especially now, that they would probably shy away from becoming more edgy.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, will be there, but I don't think they should, you know.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Expletives fly and all that stuff.
Yeah, don't go Attitude Era just to go Attitude Era. Like, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Like, I think a lot of the Attitude Era was not good.
Yeah. Don't fix what's not broken is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you know, if there's something where you could kind of push the envelope a little bit and it makes sense as a storytelling device, then go for it. But I don't think, like, you know, you need to go back to having, like, fucking women wrestling a pool of dog food as, like, a punishment.
Well, no, I mean, come on. Ooh, no, punishment? No, punishment, you say.
Okay, KJG and some dog food.
Oh, my God. August, three-way dance. Matt against the Kevins.
And a fucking... I'll pull a Pat McAfee and walk in the ring and put myself over the top rope and walk right out.
No,
you're going to leave me out to dry?
No, it's got to go Broadway. I'm the booker.
Oh, it's got to do
75 minutes. Just like Bruno and Pedro and Shay.
Of course, he pulls
as long
out
as you don't,
Bruno.
As long as you don't turn into my boy, then I think we'll be okay.
My boy.
I'm a... It's very interesting. Look, and I see, you know, Scott George, going to suck for us in America when they jack up the price, $50 to watch Raw.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I don't know what you got. I know people are paying out the wazoo for cable. Netflix is much more affordable. You could do Netflix and Hulu Live TV and probably still pay less than what you were paying for cable.
I got my Netflix free through my cable, so huzzah for me.
I know everybody's not a millionaire like me. I get it.
It's true.
This is the least of my concerns. I'm interested to see the live aspect of this, because that's not really something. There's no... They've done it on Netflix, like a live special, but there's no weekly live TV show yet, right? So... A lot of people are like, well, what is it? Does Raw go back to a 2-hour and 20-minute show? Are there going to be ads?
Of course there's going to be ads. Absolutely. There's got to be ads, right? They got to recover $5 billion.
I think it depends on what tier you're on, too, by the way. Because I looked into it. As soon as I heard this, I looked into the tiers for Netflix.
No, I think with a live show, the ads are just going to be there. I don't think you'll have an option to skip them.
No, I think you will, though.
No, but I think they got to bake them into the live show. You just can't, mm-hmm. you know.
I think, from what I read, and I could be completely wrong, I thought that they were going to just play what you saw. What? Am I? Oh, so yes. Okay, so I won't even say anything.
Oh, now you know how it feels.
That's right. Tony, I apologize for everything I've ever said about
Nobody
you.
Nobody is safe. Look, too, people, if you've never listened to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, no one is safe. All right? We are like fucking snipers in Fortnite. We do not care. We will deal with butthurt people after the show. Nobody is safe.
So there will be commercials, Matt, is basically what you're saying.
Oh, no, I don't know. But you were like, if I'm wrong.
No, but I thought that the people that without commercials would get like what the people at the live crowd would see. Like the dull moments or the powders and the, you know, the headlock takedowns and the ground stuff is what I thought that they would get. While people on the lower tiers would get commercials. So like if you're paying like the premium amount, you wouldn't get commercials and you would just see what the live crowd saw. And then if you are on the lower tiers, you would get ads. Now, I don't know how this whole new price raise thing works into it, though.
Do they have like an ad tier on Netflix? I guess they
so. Prices range from $7 to $23 a month.
What do you get for $23?
I don't know. Ads. They want me to send an email, but I already have an account. So
an email? What the you fuck?
Ready to watch? Enter your email to create or restart your membership. Can't you just tell me what's included?
I'm telling you, I googled it. I looked into it as soon as I heard the news, and no ads for the premium. And then, like, I forget what the middle one was, but
here ads, you go. Standard with ads is $6.99 a month. You can watch on two devices, download on two devices, ad supported, unlimited mobile games. I didn't even realize there was mobile games.
Oh yeah.
Standard is $15.49. You get two supported devices. You can add an extra member who doesn't live with you. Lucky. Unlimited ad free, and then premium, you can get up to 4 supported devices and 6 downloads, and then 2 extra members, and you get Netflix spatial audio. I don't know what that is, but whatever.
Did it say anything about the ads for that level?
No ads. No ads on the only one that gets is standard with ads. That's the $6.99. So there you go. Oh, if you want an extra slot, you add it for $8 a month. Who's adding an extra slot? I'm not extra. What do you need an extra slot for?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. This is all fucking new to me, bro. I signed up for Netflix in like 10 years ago, and it's always like $12 on my credit card statement. Beats me. It'll be fucking interesting. And then what do they think? SmackDown is going to go to
USA.
USA, and then NXT is to CW?
Yep. Correct, sir.
So Fox will have nothing.
Yeah, but that was Fox's choice.
Fox took a bath on that deal, didn't they?
Yep. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, excuse me.
100%. I got to pee.
Jesus Christ.
Pee my pants.
Watch out for your shirt.
I could do this. And all yes, I really need are 3 magical words.
Back after piss.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on The Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, check out the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Rogue, covering the history of wrestling year by year. Also from Gorilla Brain is the Tots Pod with Handsome Kevin and Loverboy Al, telling people to get off the lawn and reviewing wrestling figures. Also on Mondays, get your horror fix with 30 Screams or Less featuring Steve and Corey, where they review a horror film in 30 minutes or less. Monday nights live, it's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. Wednesday nights, it's the Mark Order Podcast, covering everything AEW with Ant Money, Kate the Great, Ryan Schlong, and Asian Joe. Get your metal fix on Fridays with Snowy and Aaron on Radioactive Metal, the longest-running metal podcast on the planet. Saturdays, it's High Five Tom and Will Mercier on ROH Revelry, covering the history of Ring of Honor. On Sundays, it's Inconclusive Breakdown with Justin and Vince, covering the week in pop culture, politics, and more. The Shining Wizards Network also features other great shows, including Bread Club, where Kieran and Matt cover everything New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, where brothers Alan and Tom watch some of the greatest and not-so-great matches in wrestling. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, where the Impact Playa Phil Rea discusses current wrestling while paying homage to the past. And Wrestling Night in Canada, where Snowy, Matt, and Dustin put a north of the border perspective on the world of wrestling. Enjoy all the great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment, here.
You ever find yourself in the men's room and you've had one windjammer that's stuck in your butthole and it just doesn't want to come out, no matter how hard you push or try to cut it? You need to get yourself a pair of turd tongs. With a comfort tip and a cushion grip, it's the easiest way to get those windjammers out of your butthole. And if you act now, you can get the bonus butt scraper absolutely free. Get a set for your car, put a set in the office, have one in each bathroom in your home. Turd tongs and the butt scraper will absolutely help you. You'll be so happy, you'll want to spend every waking moment in the men's room, even if you don't have to go to the bathroom. So get on the phone right now. Call 551-333-1030 for only $19.95 plus $3 shipping and handling, or send check or money order to Turd Tongs at the address on your screen. I'm getting everybody Turd Tongs for Christmas.
Can't wait. Speaking of Christmas, when are we ever going to open these fucking Christmas presents?
I was going to ask that today, too.
July, when I send you guys mine.
Fair enough. Hey,
can
before we
now?
What?
Can I open mine now?
I mean, if you want.
You do you guys care? To... Would it be that's funny?
Will it be funny? I don't know. You haven't been funny all night. Why are you going to start now?
No. Oh, me? Really? We're going there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I do want to do before we get into the next topic of conversation? Real time, I want to ask you guys, best match of the Rumble pay-per-view?
Women's match. 100% women's match.
I agree with T-Dunk.
For the amount of time, there was some downtime in the middle. For the most part, highly entertaining. Like I said earlier, don't get a better debut than Jade Cargill. Jordynne Grace had a nice run.
Yeah.
Naomi was back. R-Truth, little like levity and brevity in the middle of the match. And I don't know if you saw, there was video when he went backstage where Adam Pearce was yelling at him. And he goes, "What happened to your hair?" And he goes, "I'm not Nick."
Did you happen to see too when they released, like, you know how they're trying to be more like sports centric and they show like people arriving to the arena early, and then R-Truth, they show R-Truth with his bag coming in and he's like, "Happy WrestleMania, y'all!" Like,
oh, like, quick question before we move on, right? Michael Cole during the entrance for the Roman Reigns four-way. He said, you know, a lot of people online are complaining that Roman Reigns doesn't defend the title enough, that he's on a light schedule. He said, and what I say to that is, beat him. You don't like what he does? Beat him. People lost their fucking minds on Michael Cole for saying that. And they're like, you know it's planned, right? Like, you know, like, dude, what the fuck are you watching wrestling for if you don't want to fucking suspend your disbelief?
Right.
Seriously.
It's fair.
Michael Cole's there to sell the fucking product. What do you want him to say? Well, the minute Triple H decides he's not going to fucking retain the title, he's not going to retain. Like, what? Like, Like, why are you watching?
Right.
Why?
It's not. Look, before anybody, let's not get off topic here because I'm going to keep track of our real time best matches and the grades we give these. So when we get to the Wizzies, we don't turn into the Tony T Donk Big Papa Dump piss fucking contest where he thinks everyone has to be on his side. You're on my team. You picked the same Wizzy as I picked. So HK, KJG, what do you think was the match of the night?
Sorry.
Thanks.
HK, welcome. The floor is yours.
I think Women's Rumble was probably the most enjoyable match for me to watch start to finish. I don't think that while Logan and Owens, they had some creativity in it. It wasn't like I didn't necessarily love the match. There was some downtime in that Fatal Four Way and the Men's Rumble. I just don't think was quite as fun, exciting or creative as the Women's Rumble. So I go Women's Rumble.
All right.
So I'm going to go in a starch 180, Stark 180 from HK. I'm going to go with the Men's Rumble only because my investment was super there with Cody and Punk and Gunther and what was going to happen. So like that plays a whole lot. And when you're watching a pro wrestling match is how invested you are in the match going into it.
Yep.
So, and to me, Cody winning was just a moment. Punk being there again, hearing the roar of the crowd when he was there, a lot of good spots. Andrade coming back, like to me, it was just the moment and the energy that I got from the Men's Rumble. I'm going with Men's Rumble.
Would you say, like, when you're watching that, because you do have, like you said, you had investment going into the Men's Rumble, and that's why you went kind of Men's Rumble over it. But as I was watching going into the Women's Rumble, I had no investment in it whatsoever. But by the end of it, I was fully invested. So yeah. Where does that lie? You know what I mean? Like, because for a match like that to bring you into being invested in the match by the end of it, as opposed to a match that you already invested in going into.
Right. No, that's a very fair question. 100% a fair question. And I guess I didn't think about it till you literally just posed it right now. So, I mean, technically, on like an actual match standpoint, the women's was probably better, but I feel really good about my choice of putting the Men's Rumble as my favorite match because, like, how can you put, like, are we saying, we're saying favorite or best? We're saying best, right?
Turn my mic on. Your personal match of the night.
My match of the night was the Men's Rumble.
Okay.
And if you're looking for Brundon, he says
I saw that
he picks whatever Tony picks.
Thank you, Brundon.
You fucking shithead.
It'll be a pleasure to lose to you in the picks this year, my friend.
Oh, yeah. What do you think his fucking, what rally is he going to make us all go to when he wins? What? There's many rallies. Motorcycle rally. There's a taco fest here in Jersey that they do. I don't know. What would you give this pay-per-view as a grade?
I'd go, huh, interesting.
I'll go 8. Oh, great.
I was waiting for somebody to say fucking something. Nobody did. And I was like, all right, we're just going to let that one go by and we'll all give our letter grades.
No, I want to let it hang in the air.
I'll go
8 looks
I'll
like a B.
That would be
I'll
a B.
B.
Yeah.
I'll go B, yeah.
All right.
B.
B is good. I'm going to go B too.
B squared?
B plus.
You want B plus?
I want B plus.
HK?
A minus.
Shipbird in the chat. What do you give it? Or you can text it to us. Brundo.
Brundarino.
Dr. Dump?
I agree with HK. I'm going A minus.
All right. Whenever Brendan texts us, we'll. Scott George gave it a D.
Yeah, D's nuts.
Women's Rumble was the best D for me, not one of the best Rumbles.
Yeah, Scott George has been hating on this pay-per-view since we started the show.
Oh.
It's all right.
Well, you know what Scott George doesn't hate? He doesn't hate the Shining Wizards because he's here every Monday night. I saw B+. Thank you, Brundo. All right, we're not going to – this is an uncomfortable conversation, I think, but I feel like it's – what do you mean? Brendan, you fucking fuck. You're not even remotely close on the keyboard, dude. Whatever Tony does, I hate you, Brendan, so much.
United Bundy front against authority.
Yo, Brendan is sneaky funny, man.
Oh, he's fucking hysterical.
Don't give him his flowers, please.
What? Fuck you and your flowers. Fucking hand job.
Very sneaky funny, man. He comes in with the right and the left.
He's very knowledgeable too. His wrestling knowledge is top notch. He's no Ken You Beat That champion like KJG though. Just gonna put that out there for you.
And barely escaped the barely lost the Royal Rumble trivia.
He lost by like 30,000 points.
Oh, because at the allocation.
All right, can we move on?
Right, yes, you can. Sorry.
So we're gonna talk about this a little. I don't know if we're gonna go in depth about this because it is not an easy topic to discuss. But we do a wrestling podcast, and this is something we need to talk about.
Yep,
so,
you caught that. You caught that, HK.
What's that?
Doo doo.
No, I didn't catch it. I was just tallying it up. Greg Cherry beat you 50,020 to 13.
That's right. I was right there.
That was. Narrow margin there, KJG.
Oh, Tony's back. What has he got? I'm here.
Fucking yes, guy.
Senor, see, alto. What is that clicking? What are we doing? Are we timing something? Is something going to explode?
Yes.
Cabeza de almendra.
Ah,
cabeza de almendra.
Yeah, manja mierda.
Cabeza de almendra.
That's what they call it when he gets off the plane on Friday morning.
Cabeza de almendra.
And I'll say, hey!
Oh my god!
All right, so we had the show last week. Then we had this great Netflix deal, and we're going into Royal Rumble, and everybody's super excited. And then the Wall Street Journal drops the article that Vince McMahon has been accused of sex trafficking in a new lawsuit. The 67-page document that was filed in Connecticut court is available for you to read through. If you decide to, like, you know, they're just... I'm surprised Wall Street Journal didn't do it, to put a trigger warning on the article. There is some heinous shit in there. There's heinous acts. There's heinous text message. There's a lot of damaging stuff in this lawsuit that does not paint Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, or anybody involved with the WWE in a good manner.
No.
And then Vince was officially released from TKO. Endeavor. He's no longer associated with.
No, he wasn't released. He resigned.
Resigned, whatever
they,
you want to call it.
They twisted his arm to do it, but for sure, he resigned. He left. And somebody made a point. For the first time ever, there's not a McMahon involved in WWE.
Yeah, TKO notified the SEC today that he is no longer on the board of directions.
Directors.
Board of directors, excuse me.
The directions, yes. The board of up and down.
This is a very difficult thing to talk about.
Are you really getting worked up, for real?
Worked up? It's
yeah.
It's gross, dude. Like,
no, I know it's gross, but you really haven't gotten into the nuts and bolts of it. But
no, I, you know, it's gross that he.
Here's the first things that I took away from it. Jeremy McDevitt retired, what, about a year ago, 2 years ago? Yeah,
He resigned the first time, I think.
Yeah, but he's like donezo. And now Kevin Dunn resigned the end of the year. You know, is it coincidence? Did Kevin Dunn really want to step away? Or were there other circumstances behind this? And then you get into the question of who knew what and when and where. Because the first thing that popped into my head was Bruce Pritchard. Did he have any knowledge of this? Well, did anybody else in the office have any knowledge of this?
According to Ronda Rousey, she thinks he does.
No, well, she said that Bruce was still going to be pulling the strings. even if McMahon's gone, because Vince would be pulling him through him.
I think, to your point, I think there's a lot of people. I think the WWE is rotting from the inside. Like, this was the this was the culture there. Like, he showed, according to these documents, he showed wrestlers, he showed tech people that set up the ring. He sent these videos to numerous people, and nobody thought that there was a problem with this. The culture in the WWE at this time, not saying now, but during these years, is rotten.
Do you think there's a chance that anything is embellished in this? Like,
yes.
eventually we're gonna have to get Vince McMahon's text messages. Like, those are gonna be released.
They've already been released. They're in the
thing. No. But they'll have to go back and get. So, like, the plaintiff, she has access to what was sent to her. She knows what Vince told her. She doesn't necessarily know if Vince was really sending this stuff off, or if he was just like, you know, I showed this to everyone and they all fucking loved it. Like, we'll find out.
You think that was like grandstanding?
It could have been. I'm not saying it is, but.
No, it's not. I can't say it's not either. But here's the one thing that we know. When you file a lawsuit, Tony, you probably know this. When you're suing somebody, you make the wordage in that as defamable as possible. Like, that's what you have to do.
You have to establish at least the fact to a court that your claims are somewhat not, I wouldn't say viable, but you have to present to the court that you have a cause of action.
Right. And
it may turn out that you don't, but in your complaint, you have to show the court, like, hey, I do have a viable cause of action that may, you know, lead to a verdict in my favor.
And I'm just speaking in the general rule of law. I'm not saying this specific one is embellished or anything. I'm just saying, as a general rule, when you file a lawsuit against somebody and you're suing somebody, you, like you said, you have to show like viable cause, and you will do what you can to embellish it. But the thing is, though, that Vince McMahon can't dispute is those texts exist, man. Like, those things are like
oh yeah, yeah. And they're but there. Those are
he's
the texts.
Piece of garbage.
Oh, absolutely. And even if he did just say this stuff to her and told her, like, I showed X, Y, and Z this stuff, the fact is, like, she's got to be thinking, like, that this is true. I mean, she's in this emotional state.
Yes.
You know, pretty much imprisoned in her head, worrying about, like, hey, I might lose my job over this. But then it also goes to, like, was she consenting to any of this stuff? Did it just go too far? Like, there's so many variables to this, you know?
And
it's never easy, no matter what the topic, but especially this, because it's a very sensitive topic.
Right. It's extremely sensitive, which is why, like, even, like, talking about it makes me, like, nervous. But, and also saying, like, who knew what when is also a very dangerous thing to say, because what Vince McMahon is accused of doing is something that you keep really, really close to the vest, and you can fool a lot of people.
Yeah.
By, like, because that's what these dirtbags do. They fool everyone around you to make you think that you're just a nice guy, you're just having fun, but on the inside you're a real degenerate, depraved, vile human piece of absolute trash.
Yeah, but here's ultimately the other problem with this. Vince McMahon has got years of footage acting like a scumbag on television. He's got interviews where he talked about doing heinous shit behind his wife's back. You know what I'm saying?
Could you use that?
Of course.
If you're
a Grant?
Okay.
It's out there.
Yeah.
It's out. The interview he did with Playboy is notorious for showing what a dirtbag he is.
What interview was that?
Oh, years ago, where he talked about like fooling around with women. What about the whole Rita Chatelson thing? Chatelson,
yeah.
The referee.
Yes.
And you've got a ton of people that came forward with that, you know, that were there, that knew that she broke down, that she was upset about it.
There is. So I put this in our group chat, and it's out there. I listened to Between the Sheets. It's David Bixenspan and Chris Zellner. They do Patreon bonus episodes, and last year they did a four-part series on Titan Gate from 1992. and they put it all out on free on their podcast feed. It's like 16 hours worth of content where they go deep and they pull all the stuff from Donahue and all the anything that's ever been filed. Like, they do a great job, and it's been in, you know, they put it out last year, but now it's kind of all like you can see that there's a pattern there, and there's it's free. It's wherever you listen to Between the Sheets. If you're really interested in like getting a bit more, they definitely dive into Rita Chatterton, the Ring Boy scandals. Like, yeah. There's a lot of stuff. And, you know, the Ring Boy stuff, they were accused of sex trafficking then. Like, there's not a lot of Fortune 500 companies that have been accused of sex trafficking twice in the last 30 years. That's like a fucking huge red flag.
Yeah.
And just the whole, you know, again, you can find the whole 67-page document. It's hard to read. There's a lot of disgusting things in there, but, you know, Vince McMahon has a history of being a scumbag. Like, there's an instance where he found out one of the people in the office, their assistant was a former Playboy centerfold, and he made her become his assistant. Like, don't forget that $3 million NDA that this lady don't want no more. We're still looking for that other $10 million in NDAs that are out there that came out the first time he resigned. Like,
yeah, but this also came out because he promised her that he was going to pay her X amount of dollars, and he fucking stopped paying her.
Dude, this is like beyond like my like. This is just like the most disgust. Like, this guy is the most disgusting person on the. If everything that is alleged is true, he's the most disgusting human being on the planet.
I guarantee you.
I have no reason to believe that it's not true.
I guarantee you, he winds up dying before this thing gets settled. I guarantee you.
Look, John Laurinaitis is also involved in this, and he is a mega piece of shit. There is a lot of people. You know, there is AJ Lee tells a story where he told her, "You will never be popular because nobody wants to fuck you."
Yeah. Good guy.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, you see the past WWE superstars that are coming back. Listen, I have no love in my heart for Ryback, but the fact that Ryback says, like, this is only the beginning and a lot more is going to come out about the piece of shit Vince McMahon, the fact that Ryback is saying that, and to your point, Matt, imagine how many other people know about what, like, if freaking Ryback knows it, how many other people in that company freaking know it? It's just, or didn't know it at the time, not now, but... God, it's just a fucking disaster, man.
Sorry, Milwaukee Tom jumps in. Does non-payment negate an NDA? I mean, an NDA is like any other contract. You don't live up to the terms of it, you know, it's over. I thought I also heard that her name got leaked out on top of everything,
too. Last year, somebody gave it to that fucking Twitter troll, Brad Shepard, and he put it out there. And he has a very questionable background in the wrestling media. They didn't do Trips any favor at the...
They got to ask him about it, and Triple H answered the only way he could answer. You know, we got to focus on the positives. And they said, what are you going to do to make sure things like this don't happen? He said, everything possible. I mean, like the answer or not, that's the answer you have to give. You can't fault him for giving that answer.
Look, they could have just given him a blank, like a blanket statement where he just could have...
Or he could have just been like, oh, the pay-per-view was great. Everything's great. Doing cocaine. Everything's
said,
great.
Like, I can't, like, it's, we've heard the allegations. Like, it's just not something we can talk about. Props to John Alba and Brandon Thurston and the other two dudes that asked questions. The fucking one chode who was like, I'm going to ask a nicer question. Dude,
yeah,
nobody gives a fuck about the Attitude Era. This is the biggest wrestling story we'll probably see in our lifetime. And these questions have to be asked. It's the biggest wrestling company in the world.
You have to ask those questions, but you know what the answer is going to be. Triple H isn't going to sit there and delve into everything. I mean, he could have went pending litigation, whatever, whatever, whatever. But he said, look, I want to focus on the positive. We had a great show tonight. You know, and he said, somebody asked him, what are you doing? Everything possible. We want to make sure everybody in our locker room is protected. Everybody in our company is protected. That's the only thing he could do at that point.
Didn't he also say that he didn't read the lawsuit?
Yes.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe he's so disgusted by the thought of anything that his father-in-law did that he didn't want to read it. Yeah. I mean, Stephanie quit. What did Stephanie know? Maybe Triple H insulated himself because he didn't want to know.
He also had like a heart attack or something, right?
Yeah, well, you know. But this also led to the fact that an unnamed former UFC heavyweight champion being named in the lawsuit, which is why said unnamed UFC former champion was not in the Rumble, which is why Bron Breakker, from all accounts, wound up getting that spot. And they say that spot, actually, as an aside, was like, that's how it was booked for Brock to a T. Like, even down to Dominic Mysterio eliminating Bron Breakker. Yeah, Dom was supposed to get that big push, yeah.
Supposed to be a match at the Elimination Chamber, Brock and Dom.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no, I don't want that, no.
Yeah, but it would have been cool because then the Judgment Day could have fucked with him, you know what I'm saying?
So, not to get off topic from Vince, but say, like, everything, Punk didn't get hurt, and we get Punk Rollins. Who would Gunther work at Mania? I would thought it would be Brock.
I think that's what that was. From the reports that were put out today, it was Brock Dom at Elimination Chamber, Brock Gunther at Mania.
Ah, gotcha. I keep forgetting about Elimination Chamber.
You know what? Now, with Rollins being hurt, with Punk being out of the picture, I wouldn't fucking hate Gunther winning the fucking world title at Mania and just...
He's 100% just getting in that role.
And just give up the IC title after he wins the world title. Do an Ultimate Warrior.
I think you have him hold both.
Ugh. No, you can't. You can't.
HK, where do you land on this Vince McMahon stuff? I just want to put a bow on this before we move on. I think everyone should have an opportunity to say their piece.
True.
Yeah, it's not easy. Like when it first came out, it's shit like this that happens that like I just worked a show on Friday. You know what I mean? Like and I'm active on the scene, and it's hard because I don't want to be lumped into like a general lump of that's what happens in professional wrestling. You know what I mean? Like and I think that when somebody holds that type of position and this shit happens, I think that the common person can go, well, that kind of shit is what happens in professional wrestling. I can say I've never seen or taken part or anything like that, even remotely close everywhere I've ever been. But at the same time, like, I hate hearing this type of stuff come out regarding something that I love so much. It absolutely sucks. And with it, if any of it is true, and the evidence is pretty damning. You still have to hear the other side. You still have to see the other side of the coin. He still gets, you know, he'll still get his chance to say his piece, which I think that is important. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's important to at least hear both sides of it. The evidence is mounting, and the track record is horrible. More than anything, I'm just disappointed. You know what I mean? Like I'm just really disappointed because this, especially with a guy like Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? Like he has been the face of professional wrestling for so long, and this is the kind of shit that you know potentially has been going on his watch. It just puts professional wrestling as a whole in such a horrible light that, like, obviously, if the lady was not a willing participant, that's fucking horrible. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fucking horrible. And you feel for her, and you feel almost for anybody else that had to go through anything remotely close to it. Right. And that's just like looking at it from a potential victim standpoint. My disappointment is clearly on a more selfish level because it puts something that I love so much in such a horrible light.
No, I think you nailed it on the head right there in terms of victims and how important it is to believe them and take their word as gospel until proven otherwise. Cause if you don't, then it's going to inhibit others from coming forward. And what's the most terrifying thing about it is that even though we all love professional wrestling, we all have other loves too. It happens everywhere. It's rampant. Look at the NHL hockey, Hockey Canada, those 8 young men that were accused of raping a woman, during a gala, and now they're all being taken to task now, thank God. And you know, and it's everywhere, and it's disgusting. It's despicable, and I think you nailed it again, HK. That it's just the victims is basically what we have to talk about. Instead of worrying about what happens to Vince, which is fine, he should get whatever he gets. But now we have to focus our attention on whoever the fuck he hurt, how many countless women he probably hurt. So it's brutal.
Just so you know, the Bella Twins put out a tweet a couple hours ago. We are shocked and disheartened with the recent allegations against members of the WWE. It's been a lot to process since we found out this past week, just as you all did. This is something we don't stand for or condone from anyone, no matter who they are. We want all women to feel safe and supported in the workplace and in their everyday lives. So, even though that's their
stepfather. Yeah.
Is he still?
I think so.
I don't know. I thought they were on the rocks too, weren't they?
Didn't she have like brain cancer?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think she's still with us.
Right, but I think she was
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Going through, like, if you go back and look at the timeline, like all the allegations would be during the time she's dealing with.
Oh God, that's disgusting. I didn't know
that.
He's
a fucking piece of garbage.
Yep.
Oh, I might actually throw up.
One of the things I will say with this as well is that who is the head of Endeavor TKO? Is that Ari
Emanuel?
Yes. From multiple things that I've read is that he does not play with this shit.
Nope.
And he doesn't care who you are. You'll be gone. Like anything close to anything like this, and a lot of different publications have come out, and I mean, I'm putting it in not as fancy words as they did, obviously, but the shit doesn't fly with him, right. And he doesn't give a good goddamn who you are, what you've done, you're gone. And you know, back to Matt's point initially from the rotting from the inside, he'll fix that. He's not standing for that shit. So that's a positive thing moving forward.
Is there any universe, Tony, where Triple H or Nick Khan knew about this?
Nick Khan probably not. Triple H maybe. The question is like if it's been going on that long. I mean, Triple H has been an office guy for a while now. Was he in the office? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to know that this woman all of a sudden is an employee there, and all of a sudden she's, like, fast-tracked to, like, all these, you know, important positions in the company.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, it kind of just smells off. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And even if there was, like, a nefarious, like, relationship between the two, like, probably knew about that. Like, you probably didn't know about all the... So
if there was a relationship, right? Like Vince McMahon, like him and Linda have not been together for a long time. I mean, that's fact. And if Vince McMahon's got a lovey-dovey relationship with somebody working for him, as scummy as that seems, that's a fact. Inappropriate, right. Yes. Illegal, no.
Well, but here's now the other that all this you mentioned the word illegal. Like, there's no criminal stuff going on here, unless you.
Well,
like,
I mean, you know, trafficking is criminal, but
but there's no charges.
No. That you're right. This is a civil matter.
Right.
But I don't know what the statute of limitations are.
But, eventually, right?
Well, something could come out of it.
She would have to pursue that, wouldn't she? Would she not?
Yeah, but if there's enough evidence of a crime, the
law enforcement can do it themselves.
Probably. Yeah. The state can come in and do that, you know, but they would have to have some sort of, you know, because she's the star witness, right? I mean, right. Like this all happened to her. And if she doesn't want to talk, you don't have a case, you know?
And I think with the, like KJG, you're saying who knows what, and it's very possible that Triple H knew nothing of it. You know what I mean? It's very possible. You see it all the time. Like I was talking with Justin the other day about it, and you serial killers whose neighbors knew nothing about it and just thought it was the nice, you know, the nice neighbor. So it's very possible. And there's a lot of things that can happen that you can be so oblivious or so wrapped up into other things that it could happen right, you know, in your next door house and you have no fucking clue.
It's just so weird. It's a weird dynamic, Matt, where like he allegedly shared these text messages with all these people, and then like no one knows. Like it's like it's so very weird. Like how like word travels very fast in like life in general. Like if you share something with somebody, it's gonna get back to like everybody. So I do. It's such a weird spot, man. Like to find out like who actually knew what and when. It's just so bizarre, Matt.
Dan, you gotta, you know, look. You work for the WWE ring crew. You see this, like, who are you gonna tell? Because then, you know, you're the ring. I don't know what they're making doing, you know, ring setup, but just in lawyer fees alone, like, you put you right in the fucking ground, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's a shitty thing to say, but people, you know, oh, it ain't, you know, she, in the video, she looks like she's enjoying herself, so. How do I know that there's something wrong here, right? I'm sure those guys feel like shit now. But at the time, it's, you know, the fucking boss is showing, ah, look at this, you know, and you're like, yeah. Oh, wow. So it's like, it's just, yeah, it's rough. And, you know, I'm in the, you know, Ari Emanuel, what was his name?
Ari Emanuel.
I'm in his camp, of no bullshit. The amount of ignorant people I dealt with on Twitter during this.
You gotta stay off of Twitter, look, bro.
No, and I did, but there's people like, oh, it's two consensual adults having sex, don't be a snowflake. The amount of times I sent in response to a tweet, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah. You know, I saw you post, look, like, stupid idiot, this guy wins loser of the day.
And to that guy's credit, that guy went and read and then came back and apologized.
Okay.
And I don't have the screen name in front of me, but, you know, like, look, if you're going to be ignorant, you're looking for your clout, like, I don't need your support. I can speak for the other wizards. That. Like, we don't need your support. Don't fucking listen. Don't follow. If you're a fucking ignorant moron and you don't take the time to read the documents and just instantly read a headline and be like, this chick's looking for money. You need to fucking, don't be such a snowflake. No, it's fucking disgusting, man. These allegations are absolutely disgusting. You have a mother. You have a girlfriend. You have a sister. There's a woman in your life. And if this happened to her, you'd be absolutely fucking appalled.
Yeah, and let's not mix it up. If it's consenting adults doing stupidity to each other and nobody's like feeling like a victim or trapped or anything like that, you know, God bless, go do whatever you want. But... yeah. This doesn't seem like that's the situation. No. At least it wound up not becoming not that situation, according to the complaint. I will say this. If you do want to read it, it's very explicit. Please read it at your own risk. I read it because, you know, number one, I don't really mind reading shit like this, and this even bugged me. But two, I read it from a legal perspective just because I wanted to see what was in there. And I wanted to be informed for tonight, but yeah, like we're not going to go into like anything. No, no, and if you really want to read it, I do caveat and say, read it at your own risk.
So
and Tony, read it on your own. Like, don't read this in front of the family and shit like that. You know.
No, this isn't story time.
Can I ask you this, then, Tony? From like you reading it from a legal perspective, is this all? I mean. Is it looking as bad as we would think it would be looking for Vince McMahon just from that legal perspective?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, the first thing they're going to do is probably a motion to dismiss. They're going to say everything was consensual, that, the, you know, things were embellished, whatnot. But I think there is enough there that they should at least be permitted to move forward with discovery, you know?
Now, let me ask you this. The result of this, if... WWE or not WWE, if Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, and I guess WWE is also named in the suit, I believe. So if they all decide to settle, would that be grounds to not make a criminal investigation? Like, if they decide, like, we don't want to go forward with this because it is a civil suit, it's not in the court of law, it's in a civil court. So can they literally just give her I'm not saying that's her motive. She might not accept it, and she might want to have these guys face everything. Is that a possibility too, where we never see criminal charges filed against Johnny Ace and Vince?
I mean, I don't know what the statute of limitations is. I don't know if she wants to pursue, you know, a criminal matter. That's always in question, you know. If she does, again, then it's going to be a lot more investigating. Look, the easy thing to do, try to figure this out, reach a settlement, not have to go through all this. But to me, if you file a complaint like this, you got to be ready to move forward with it. You
and
know
I think
what I'm
she
saying?
Is.
Like, yeah, and she, yeah, because she's clearly not at the point where she's going to buckle on this. Like,
right.
Like the nasty shit that was in this complaint already, like, it's out there. It's just a matter, it's just going to be a matter of degree at this point. She's got to be ready to go forward with it.
Yep. Good for you her. Know? And hopefully, she
which
gets...
is bad. And this is why, like, women are always afraid to come forward because they know all this shit is going to come out. Now, does that mean that it's all going to be like, oh, she was violated 100% up and down? No, but even if there's stuff that she consented to, even if it's like, if it started right. out as a relationship and, you know, and things happen, even that alone would be embarrassing for somebody to put out there. Even if it was all consensual, you know?
She's got moxie,
like,
man.
What
she's
portion, like, but that's what I mean. Like there's got to be portions of it where she was like, you know, everything was great and we did this and we did
well,
that.
Well, I think
blah, blah, blah.
If you read the complaint, it seems like he kind of...
Oh no, like, you're right.
Made
he
it seem
like
it was a like she, it got to the point where she thought this was normal. This was normal behavior. Like she yeah. should be doing this. She should be letting these things happen. Or like it's
that's a great point.
You know, like it's predatory behavior. Like
yes,
you read the whole thing, and it's like she lost her job because she was taking care of her parents, and they died, and they lived in the same building, and he created a job for her that didn't even exist at WWE, and he started making advances towards her. Look, listen to the Between the Sheets stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure him and Vince have not been, or him and Linda have not been married for like fucking 30 years.
Oh no, they're married. They just haven't been together.
Yeah, they don't live together. Like
30.
Oh, you're going back to the steroid trial.
Really?
Oh, no. No, well, I mean, she was still on TV during the Attitude Era.
That
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's...
No, but like...
You got to like save face, drag, right?
Yeah, but you would drag your wife... Save face? He was sucking face with Trish Stratus during that whole thing. You don't
well,
remember?
I mean, we can make a comparison with Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, and Karen Angle, and all that stuff, too. Like they were,
yeah,
they
but
were
they all agreed
together.
To go... I mean, they kind of agreed to work... I don't know. Man. I don't know.
Maybe
it's
they
rough.
Did, too. A lot of bank, a lot of scroll to lose if you.
I mean, you're looking at, you know, breach of the
Matt
NDA.
Hardy, Edge, and Lita.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but how does? I guess
who knows, right? Who knows? She's probably set up, you know. Who knows? Who fucking knows? It's definitely worth the information's out there if you want to dig and find it. And again, I'll put a link in the show description to the Between the Sheets stuff. And if you have time, like there's a lot of meat on the bone.
I mean, and the other big thing is like they were traveling between states to, you know, for some of these activities, which is a big no-no.
Anything
with sexual activity and you're crossing state lines
for that sole purpose to commit that. Yep.
Yeah. And then there's other claims. There's like negligence. There's battery, you know, what else? Emotional distress, both negligent and intentional, you know, it's all your typical pleadings, but the big one is the, they call it the TVPA, and I forget exactly what it stands for, but yeah, but it's like sexual activity across state lines. So,
yep.
Yeah, the Speak Out Act. That's it.
Yeah, the
sexual assault disputes. Yeah,
protection acts.
Yeah, it defines all this stuff in the lawsuit. But yeah, I mean, it's all United States code. It's all federal stuff. So, yeah.
Put a all bow right. on that bad boy.
Yeah, we covered that. Look, it's rough. It's not an easy subject to talk about. I think we had to talk about it because we do a wrestling doo-doo. I did it again.
Doo-doo!
We do a wrestling podcast, so it's important to talk about it. But there are a lot more people that are more qualified to speak about it than us. So
100%.
I highly suggest the Between the Sheets podcast. Again, it's in their regular feed. You can listen to Titan Gate, and they even put out like an hour special just talking about the news when it dropped on Thursday. We'll bring it up since we're kind of in a dark space here. Former guest of the show, Ice Train, passed away last week too.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
DDP announced that on Facebook on Tuesday that that Harold Hogue, yep. Ice Train.
Hogan's Hulkster's younger brother, Harold Hogue.
Hogue, dude. Brother. So that's a bummer. That was not, you know, that's not something you were looking to hear. And he was a great guest, and we had a lot of good times when he was on the podcast. And, you know, everyone loves a good Scott Norton Ice Train feud.
So good.
It wasn't.
Do it, HK. Speak ill of the freshly dead.
I wouldn't do that. I really enjoyed Ice Train, but that feud didn't do anything for me.
But what about the tag team? What about Fire and Ice itself?
I liked the tag team, but they had too short of a run together.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and there was the feud was shorter.
Right. That's why I didn't much care for that whole thing. It was because I liked them as a tag team, but then the tag team was so short-lived, and I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's because they didn't really necessarily see eye-to-eye with one another.
Yes, based on the interview.
And then also, then how long are you going to stretch a feud out if the guys can't work a tag together? And the matches were very, very, very lackluster.
There was legit. Like, I wouldn't even call it a feud. It was that short-lived. And then they had Scott Norton join the NWO and, like, punch him in the back with that fucking blue shirt on. That was so silly. Like, it was like when, Ice Train was tremendous. One of my favorites growing up, watching WCW, which was not a constant for me, watching WCW, like, live on TV until Nitro. But Ice Train was just awesome, man. Ugh, God, that stinks. That's a bummer, man.
He was a staple of Worldwide, and I never missed Worldwide like when I was younger. And so obviously it was a big, big fan of his and obviously, you know, Fire and Ice as well. But yeah,
because they were like so built the exact same way. Like Scott Norton and Ice Train were the exact same person. Like,
it was fantastic
in terms of like build. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get Tony aggravated here. AEW, Tony, how you feeling? Have you checked out any AEW in the past week?
Nope.
So you no interest in Edge and Minoru Suzuki?
Nope.
Fantastic stuff, buddy.
Good stuff.
Great.
Both shows are great.
I'm going to sit back here.
I'll be back here if you need me.
Yep. Just ring the bell.
Just ring the bell?
Yep.
All right. Well, HK, KGG.
Wait, who's at the door?
I watched.
We don't have to go through every match on both shows, but let's go. What did you guys think were the highlights from Dynamite?
I give him a D minus. Write that down in your book.
Yeah, I write something down in my book.
I like Swerve Jeff Hardy.
Oof.
Yeah, it took a minute to get going, but I think the last couple minutes of that match were fun.
And it's always a pleasure to see Thunder Rosa, obviously. And
nice if
here's
she
can
remember who the TBS champion was.
If I what?
It'd be nice if she remembered who the TBS champion was.
She fucked it up? Who'd she say?
She's like, I'm coming for you, Tony Storm, and then they cut to the Savannah Bananas baseball team.
I saw... Did not see that. But Matt, are you like discouraged by the pop that like Adam Page gets now? Like nobody gives a shit about him anymore?
No, but I don't know if I'm discouraged. I mean, from what I so go back to the Rumble too, like I don't know why like they like try and like because I felt like some of the pops at the Rumble weren't huge, but then when people were there live, they were like the place was electric.
So I did hear that a lot of people, because of the songs, are also similar at this point in WWE. That
it's so bogus. I hate that. That's so fucking not true.
The song.
There's a giant screen in the middle of the arena that tells you who it is.
But they're saying the song would hit, and then the video would hit, and then the name would appear. So from what I've heard from people that were there was that people were getting thrown off because they'd hear the song, they weren't sure, and then they'd look, and it'd be another minute until the name would appear. And that's just going from what I hear from people that were there.
A minute? That's not.
I'm not a full minute. I'm just, it's figure of speech.
Fair.
the like from all accounts, people in the trop said the atmosphere was electric, but I don't feel like that transcend. Like we talked when we did our Wizzies backlash in Puerto Rico, like the place was fucking buzzing.
Yeah.
Right. And from all accounts, the people at the trop said the trop was buzzing, but when we were watching it live, I didn't get that vibe. And I don't know if that's them turning down the crowd noise, like fading it out, you know, how TV magic works. They can pipe in the
You ever been to Tropicana Field?
Yeah, I have.
It sucks.
You're out of your mind.
It's an old, decrepit building, dude.
First of all, it's not that old. It's fucking Tampa. It's nice. It's air conditioned. They got stingrays you could pet.
Oh, yeah, great. You could pet my stingray, too.
That's where they all were.
I went there once when the Devil Rays fucking played their inaugural season. You know what happened? It poured outside. You know where the water was coming in? In the fucking atrium while we were waiting to leave the goddamn
fucking
building.
Guy. Okay, that was like fucking 30 years ago.
I got more wet inside the building than I did outside. Oh, it's gotten better in 30 years?
Yes.
No, it hasn't. Then why did it sound like shit? You don't even know because it's old and it sucks. Look at me. I'm old and I suck. I sound like shit. Call me Tropicana Tony.
I know Mott Spock is the second worst stadium in baseball. It's a fucking dump.
It is a fucking dump. Thank you, Mott Spock.
I liked it.
Well, good for you.
It's not top five for me.
We went there. We sat for the game. Somebody I was with, the seat collapsed under him. Had to fucking get an usher to help him up.
Tony, how many baseball games have you been to in your life?
Probably about 36.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. He's a fucking extra annoying at every single one of them.
No, I'm not. I enjoyed a Mets game. We're going to another box this year in August.
You understand that 36 is like 36, right? You've been to 36 baseball games?
Yes. 10 of them this year. Out. My counting works. Yeah.
You went to... All right.
Probably.
He didn't go to 10 this year.
Minor league games as well.
Oh,
as
get out.
Games,
no. Man. Get out of here, you jerk.
It's for baseball games.
How many baseball games have you been to?
4? Maybe.
Oh, you jerk.
Yeah, I didn't say 36.
Yeah, I went to 36 baseball games. Bullshit. I'm not counting the NA high school team. I'm counting fucking pros and semi-pro ball.
I do have a Scranton Red Barons baseball right over there, by the way.
Well, there you go.
But no, but I'm talking like, all right, let me rephrase. How many Major League Baseball games have you been to?
Probably like 8, maybe 9.
How many different buildings have you been in?
3. And I could say without fucking hyperbole that the Tampa Bay fucking Tropicana Field sucked a big bag of donkey dicks. It was fucking horrifyingly bad.
Donkey dicks?
Yes. T-bone sized donkey dicks.
It's my foot long.
Yes. What? Hey, Serena Deeb's back. I'm all about that.
That was huge.
Serena Deeb's back. She looks great. Did a great job reintroducing her to the crowd.
Yeah.
I was surprised about how much fanfare they gave her, cutting a promo back, saying that she's bringing the wrestling back in All Elite Wrestling.
Hope she murders Riho.
Look, I thought her coming back, I thought the women were super highlighted. Maria May, Lady Frost was great on Collision. Lady Frost is so fucking good. And Maria May brings something to the women's division that they didn't have before. She might not be the best in the ring, but her personality and her character is something they need.
Right. And I kind of want to dial back, I guess, to like WWE, like Tiffany Stratton and Maxxine Dupri being like shitty. Like, it was like literally like their first like real legit big spot. So like I'm not holding it against them that they sucked then. So like, It's what it is, and I think you're right, Matt. I think she did a great job in this position.
I thought Collision was great. I loved Edge and Minoru Suzuki. I'm sorry. I know people are like, it's the same, like every Suzuki match is the same, and that's fine, but this was like, it's fucking Edge in 2024 wrestling Minoru Suzuki, and I'm a New Japan mark, so,
right.
You know, that gets my dick hard.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why does Edge look like he's 80 years old, and why does he turn red so much?
I don't know. Maybe he's got the thing where he turns red. My wife has she has one alcoholic drink, and she gets all red.
Yeah, but that's her. That's the Asian, like, blood. I mean,
right, but maybe he's got something where he, like, I don't know. Maybe he uses the wrong lotion, and it makes him red. I don't fucking
know. Or maybe it's the fact that he's 80 years old, and he turns red.
Or maybe he's gassed.
Or because Minoru Suzuki beat the shit out of him.
No, it's like every time I see him, like in the highlights, he's like all like red here, and he's like.
I think it's probably the production value, AEW compared to WWE. Right? Like, it just, like, WWE made him look better.
Sure. Beats me. I don't fucking know.
I don't know. I'm just.
I watched the wrestling. I don't notice his red face. I'm sorry. You're like, Tony's looking for anything. He's like, I want to look for anything that annoys me.
About
AEW.
Is that
true? I asked a question. I didn't say it annoyed me.
But you asked like a question that nobody would be looking for. Like, now I'm going to have to look and see.
Oh, you'll notice it in 2 seconds. Face. Yeah. Wait, I'm going to look up red face.
Now that
edge.
He mentions it, I know it.
See?
I see it. But I would never thought about it if it was never brought up to me.
Oh, now I'm getting Edge and Bono.
I love Danielson, Yuji Nagata was fucking awesome.
I loved awesome. What I liked more was the Eddie Kingston, Daniel Bryan play.
Danielson, I beat fucking Triple Crown guys. You fucking suck.
I love Eddie Kingston on commentary too, saying he's mad that the King of the Bums beat him. It was awesome.
Willie Mack almost killing himself doing standing moonsaults.
Jesus, yeah.
Not great.
Oh, forgot about that.
Escape the Cage 6-man match was great. A lot of story.
The whole, I don't know if you guys watched, but the whole Daniel Garcia gets beat up, jumped. Mark Briscoe's like, I got your back. And the Revival's like, hey, man, like, will you be the first one I call? But it's DG's decision. And then Mark Briscoe comes out. Oh, God, Matt, this was actually a really good storied match.
Am I wrong?
All right, so he's got red face.
All right, so he's got a red face.
Gives a
shit. I don't know these lights.
He wrestled Minoru Suzuki, and you're fucking focusing on his red face. You didn't even watch it.
He's got red face. I didn't say I watched it. I said Edge has a red face. I said, why does he have a red face? That's all I said.
Maybe he's trying to be the Red Skull in the next MCU.
Well, he's doing a terrible job.
Why?
He looks like the Cowardly Lion with red face.
HK, I'm always interested to hear your take on AEW.
Red face.
I'm not the guy to ask.
Yeah.
I didn't catch Collision. I did watch Dynamite. I don't give a shit about Hangman Page. I'm not going to give a shit about Hangman Page. I don't know that there's anything that he can do to change my mind on that. Jeff Hardy, what are we doing? Like, just enough. Take a fiver. Go all the way out with that, man. It's time for him to, I think it's probably time for him to check back in. He can go away. There's not much like that. That's the disappointing thing. Like, I watch it, and every time I watch it, I feel like I'm insane because I go to watch it and I'm hoping for something different than I get. And without like very minor spots here and there, I'm still getting shit that I don't necessarily like. And I want it to be bad. I want it to be good so bad. I keep going back to it, expecting something different. And I'm not getting something different. So it's.
You want me to get crazy? I'll get crazy.
Yeah, it fucking disappoints me. Was it this past week where Darby cut the "We're Undefeated" promo?
Yes.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
And your
we're undefeated, Sting. So I think we should have the since records matter around here again. Does he say it three times? Since records matter here again, fuck you.
Why are you talking like Darby's? Darby's from like.
I don't know. It came out Georgia. Weird, man. I don't have a Darby Allin. All right.
Suck Conrad.
I know what it's not and what it is. It was on me. It's just fucked. I hate it. We're an undefeated tag team. Go fuck yourself.
So you are not looking forward to Sting and Darby challenging Ricky Starks and Big Bill in 2 weeks?
Is that for real?
Yes. February 7th, AEW Dynamite.
Oh, man. Fuck that company.
Totally. Like, you wouldn't know either way. We could have made it up and you'd believe it.
Well, how do you, Tony, feel, right, because there's such animosity between Swerve and Hangman Page that they are going to pick the opponent and the match next week?
I'm back here. Let me know.
I like
the
dealer's
me.
Choice.
Oh, it's oh, Jesus. Yeah, I'm with you, Tony. I'll be back here if you need me. Yeah.
All right, Matt, let's have a conversation.
All right.
So I didn't realize it was the match, too. I just thought it was the opponent.
The opponent of choosing, yes, not the match, whatever.
Oh, no, it's all good, man. I think I actually like that better. So let me ask you this, Matt. Let me put you on the spot.
Okay.
Who do you think who chooses for whom?
Well, ooh. Swerve already chose Hangman Page's opponent. It's going to be Toa Leoni.
Who?
Why?
The Wait, when did that happen?
That happened on Collision.
Oh, that's right. Didn't that promo, the vignette. Yeah.
The dude from the Mobile Embassy, and then...
Yeah.
The Mobile Embassy.
Mogul.
Selling cell phones, the Mobile Embassy.
And then I believe Hangman Page alluded that Swerve Strickland's...
Keith Lee?
...opponent is the whole effing show.
Oh, he is coming back. That's right. Oh, so God, that's
I think
so
it's
silly.
RVD.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'd rather have Keith Lee get another go at him.
Yeah.
Keith Lee stinks.
Oh.
He does. All he is a big motherfucker.
He doesn't stink, though.
Oh, he probably doesn't shower either.
How do you feel about Mercedes Moné and Okada, AEW bound, according to Uncle Dave?
Oh, fuck Uncle Dave. He fucking falls down and hurts himself.
Oh, that's not very nice.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just
maybe he hurts. I just want him to land on his mouth. I don't want him to break his jaw or anything, but just get really fat lips so he can't fucking talk for 3 weeks.
And maybe break a couple of hands so he can't.
Yeah,
type
maybe
anymore.
Just a couple of like fingertips so he can't type. It's like real painful to fucking put his letter together, and fucking let Wade Keller do all the typing so he could tell him he's out of his fucking balls.
Well, it's Brian Alvarez.
Whatever. Same shit. They're all the same.
Wade Keller does the torch.
Torch.
Good. Mike Johnson's the only one that matters.
I defend him when he's wrong. I defend him when he's wrong. Nelly, get out of here. Get. Come on, Nelly.
Dave,
well, Okada.
When he reads the torch.
Here's New Japan continues to aggravate the life of me.
Why do you watch it?
Well, we're in an interesting. Look, man, the 6-man titles were defended.
Right.
Big Tom, fucking asshole, Goish, and Okada defended against TMDK, and they fucking beat him.
Of course
they
did.
Beat him,
it's fucking
and then Okada vacates the titles. And now we
Go
don't
Ace.
Know what we're doing. Fuck you,
oh,
Go Ace.
But you're okay with fucking Dobby and Sting getting a title shot, right? What do you think's going to happen there?
They're going to win the tag titles.
Let me wonder. Another tournament. It's been a while.
They're going to win the tag titles, then they're going to wrestle the Young Bucks at Revolution. And we're going
to
have to
great.
Pick that
Wonderful.
Match.
Wonderful. Because the fucking Young Bucks, we need more of them in our lives.
Nope.
I like the new Young Bucks.
Oh, I bet you do.
Oh, boy.
You're the same guy that said everything is evil.
Oh, you're never going to let me fucking live that down.
No, because you can't fucking stand the ground that evil walks on.
Now, no, the House of Torture is the worst. The Young Bucks leaning into being douchebag EVPs is fantastic.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's fucking
No, it's
great.
Not. They don't know anything else to do with themselves. That's the problem.
I'm kind of with T Dunk on this one, Matt.
That's fine. We don't all guess what? This isn't the fucking Turnbuckle Throwbacks Shining Wizards imaginary wrestling tournament where we have to agree.
You're never
on
gonna
everything.
Let me live that down, huh?
No,
I do appreciate the effort with the new look and the new gimmick, but it's just like
douche so. Nozzles. Always so. Were,
which is,
always
which is
will
maybe
be.
The point. Maybe we're talking about like
that's
Vicky
the
Guerrero.
Idea. They're douchebags.
Yeah. Oh, great.
They were douchebags before they started being douchebags in character.
Yeah, okay, so you might as well just fucking lean
into
it.
They didn't really lean into anything. They just go, yes, we acknowledge we're douchebags.
It's
great.
Dude,
good for you.
It's like when it's like NXT making The Rock's daughter the general manager the day he becomes CEO. They're leaning into it. So
no.
In that respect.
Stop. Stop
what
leaning
mean?
Into it. That's not that's nepotism pure and simple. It's these assholes trying to get another fucking grab. No, man.
You don't think that's tongue in cheek? The day that The Rock becomes the board of directors in TKO, they make his daughter the general manager. They're leaning in, bro.
No, that's pure nepotism. What the Young Bucks are doing is fucking stupid.
No, I will agree with Matt. They're leaning in, but
they're not
I don't
leaning
like
in.
It.
All they're doing is acknowledging. They're not leaning in.
Acknowledge me.
And what are they going to do? They're going to beat Sting and Dobby, and then everybody's going to go. Oh, the Young Bucks. Oh, if the Young Bucks lose that match, oh, they put them over. And if they win that match, oh, well, they had to win because the tag belts are fuck them either
no,
way.
No, Tony, they're yep. going to Sting and Darby will retain, and then we.
Why
will
do
get
they need the tag
tournament?
Belts to begin with? Why do they need the tag belts to begin with? There's no reason for it.
We're going
to
send off Sting as the champion.
Why don't we let Sting fucking figure this shit out for himself? Why can't Sting go, nah, you know what? I don't need the tag belts. I don't want to wrestle Big Bill.
Because Tony Khan doesn't listen to anybody.
God forbid fucking Sting gets hurt because this big jackass fucking does something to him and he doesn't get to wrestle against Big Bill. Nothing. I don't know. Maybe he fucking, maybe he Irish whips Sting and Sting collapses in a heap. I don't know.
I mean, so, I'm sure he had to go through.
Sting's like 90.
MB chiming in, and he says, there's honestly nothing that the Young Bucks can do right now that will get me invested in what they're doing. They've just become incredibly stale.
Stale's a good
word. No, but they're admitting they're douchebags now, Matt, so fucking huzzah.
I think it's good. I think it's good stuff.
Good for you.
They run into Top Flight at Dynamite, and they're like, you guys just get here? They're like, no, we've been here since one. They're like, this is how you dress? And the Young Bucks are wearing suits. I thought you would like that, Tony. But the ironic part is the Young Bucks just got there. They're really being dickbags. What are you making fucking faces for?
Wonderful. We're being dickbags. Look at us. Two sweet skis. Sweet, 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 sweet.
We're the fucking
stupid, dirty mustaches. They're dicks.
Great. Let them be dicks. Can they call themselves the Young Dicks? Or the old dicks. How about the floppy dicks instead of floppy discs? It's like a double entendre and a fucking.
How about the Young Cucks?
Yeah, that's a douchebag one. The one's wife that they fired. Maybe they could do something with her. Maybe she could be fucking Christian's next woman that he fucking brings out there.
Jeez.
What? He's bringing out all these dead, like all these women that lost their husbands. Hey, I know your husband's still alive, but let's be honest. He's a douche and he got you fired, right? Sweet ski, woo. And then fucking red faced Edge could come out and go, fucking idiots.
Do you know all the words to metalingus?
No, on this day.
I don't see clearly. My face is red. Tony, last week you said you had TNA on your radar. Did you have a chance to check out the show this week?
No, I watched football and I watched the Royal Rumble this weekend. That's plenty of watching for T-Donk.
Okay.
I watched Jordynne Grace at the Royal Rumble. How much more TNA do I need?
And she beat Trinity. On
a banger.
On TNA. On a banger, yeah. Feel the glow.
Yes, I feel it in my bones.
And we got the Nick Nemeth debut. He beat up old great. Zachary a zombie. Wentz.
Oh, zombie Zachary.
There you go.
MK Ultra defeated Dana Luna and Jody Threat.
I prefer MK Light. I don't like my Ultra.
Oh, boy. Got a shit all over TNA too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
just having
a good
fun
time
with the names. That's all. Yeah, we're having fun.
And then the main event, Okada and the Motor City Machine Guns defeated
Motor
the
Shitty.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
All right.
That's what he sure said. Did. If you missed it, go back and watch it again because we don't fucking replay shit.
I don't. We're not capable of a replay.
Motor Shitty.
It's we are. It's on demand all the time.
No, I think he wants me to, like, you know, you listen to the radio and they're like, play it back, and then someone can instantly pull the audio.
Actually, if I hurry up, I could probably pull the show up, and at that moment's coming up right now.
Probably could.
Then we're going to echo for like 6 hours.
Don't fuck up your audio. We're almost done.
Fucky.
So TNA, this week's show, I'm not going to lie to you, it kind of, and KJG or HK, if you guys watched, felt a little all over the place versus the first week.
So, I mean, how can you, like, follow up Ospreay versus, you know, Josh Alexander?
I mean, Trinity and Jordynne Grace was great. I just meant the way the show kind of played out, it felt a little disjointed for me.
All right, so that's totally a fair criticism. I didn't think that at all. I thought that the matches that we got were fantastic. I thought every single match on the show was good. I thought the backstage stuff with, like, I never cared about Crazy Steve until like right now. Like him being the digital media champion, with that being whatever you want to say about that championship. He treats it like a real championship, and then Rhino comes in and just totally just fucks with him. I thought that was cool. I have the Decay is back now too, and I guess not 100% associated with Crazy Steve. I thought that was great, and just as a personal markout moment, like, dude, first of all, Nick Nemeth, Zachary Wentz was awesome. Chris Bay, Kevin Knight, great. Obviously, we're not going to do anything about that.
Oh, Black Kevin Knight?
Yep.
Yeah. And he's gonna face my dear good personal friend next week on Impact Wrestling, Brian Myers, who, dude, pop moment of the night for me was him in the ring with Okada. And listen, say what you want about Okada, he got the biggest pop of the night in that show in Vegas. And so people know him. So wherever he ends up, Matt, you mentioned AEW before. It was really cool to see him there and see that. Moose and Okada face to face was just insane, dude. Like that's a one-on-one main event that I want to see.
And they're bringing Mustafa Ali into TNA now.
That's right. That's a great point too. Yeah. That's going to be huge. That was a nice little vignette.
Look, if you're hating AEW, man, check out, like, if you're looking for another wrestling promotion to check out, like, TNA is the place to go. I know you're going to bring up the nipple slip.
No. I saw CM Punk is officially out of WrestleMania. There you go.
Out.
Yep. Yep. He said WrestleMania 40 is not in the cards for him, but there's always next year.
Now, Matt, here's something I thought of today. Like, if he can't wrestle, like, do you bring him in as, like, I know this is going to probably get some groans, but, like, do you bring him in as the host of WrestleMania? Like, you know how they've done that host thing in the past? Do you have CM Punk be the host of Mania?
Where's Mania this year?
Philadelphia.
Nah, Blue Meanie. He's tired of fucking working MLW shows at the 2300.
Hold my calls.
He's doing something at that bar WrestleMania weekend.
McClusters, right?
Yeah, big party.
Huge.
Big American party!
I'm sure he'll show up for something, either the Hall of Fame or to just be what?
Okay. No, just thinking. Tony, was that from Mr. Fuji and the Berserker throwing a party? Is that
no?
Where that came? Okay,
no, that's a Clerks the Animated Series reference.
Okay, I thought you were going. Do you remember that though? On the
same difference.
That one that VHS tape.
Oh yeah,
Mr. Fuji was teaching the Berserker how to throw a fabulous party. That's where I thought it was from, and I went, "Oh man, that is such a great deep pull." And now I'm kind of disappointed that's not where it was from.
Well, I thought maybe you might have knew Clerks the Animated Series, but it's kind of a very short existence thing.
I remember it, but I couldn't pull anything from it.
Gotcha.
Matt, how are you feeling about the Nick Nemeth, Steve Macklin program? Is that a good place
can't
for
wait.
Nick to start?
I like it.
Good. Thanks, Matt.
Hey, no problem.
My wife's
coming home. I got to go make tacos. I'll see you later.
I found it, so I'm going to play it.
Oh, boy.
I hate your guts.
Yzerka and I will show you how to show you a very, very special party. That's right, party.
Party.
We're going to show you how to make a very successful party where everybody be very, very happy. That's right, happy. Step one.
The invitation.
Is he saying pod?
Party. Who to invite?
Huss.
That ain't how you get guests. This is how you get guests.
Huss.
You want to come to a party?
No, I don't even know you.
Great, then you'll come. Oh, this is how you get your guests.
He just picked up a dude.
Wow! I got this. RSVP. Huh? Let me tell you, step number two, boys sound and girls sound, number two.
The entertainment.
The Berserker recommends these. You know, you got to keep them guests entertained.
Everyone's
got to have a lot of fun with lots of little gimmicks and stuff like these right here.
Cocaine!
You're going to grab him. Yeah, that's better. Now they're working. Everybody can have lots of fun with these. These are real good. They don't taste bad either. So let's have all lots of real, lot of...
Everyone gets a muffler.
Let's have a lot of fun.
Is he snorting things? What the fuck is he doing?
He's eating the party.
All your costume video fans.
Oh.
Are you watching and listening?
Are you sure? Let me tell you, in order to have a successful party, step number three is we need food.
Food.
Maybe some fancy hors d'oeuvres, but the berserker's favorite is them little finger sandwiches I got here. These are real important to make everybody real happy at the party.
You know, them
peoples, they get happy at them parties, and they get real hungry after they get happy. And this is the berserker style type party. Some nice finger sandwiches. And boy, when they start eating them, these good. Yummy, yummy. Berserker style type party. Boy, people good. Keep them happy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yummy, yummy.
He's trying to hustle peanut butter in his mouth.
Coliseum video fans out there, hope you're watching and listening real good to Mr. Fuji and a berserker in how to throw a really super party.
Super party.
So
that's my berserker, people.
That's my berserker.
So. They shit the berserker speaking for this Coliseum home video exclusive.
Like, no, he spoke before.
Did he really?
Which brings me to my question to you, Tony. Has there ever been a wrestler that you never wanted to hear talk ever? And then once he does, you're like, that's why he should never, ever fucking talk. His voice, like, he's like, he was supposed to be like a Nordic Viking, and he literally has like the most American accent you could ever have in your life.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Minnesota guy he's not loved equally along all parts around here. But to that point, what was Kevin Wacholt's Nails when he wasn't Nails? Like, even when he was Nails, that voice was fucking disgusting. But when he wasn't Nails, he had a really high pitched voice that threw me off.
Dude, it's just like Berserker's voice was not what I expected it to be when he.
Been waiting for this day.
That's right.
All right.
Boom.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, guys. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we pull this train into the station?
I think we covered it all, my man. Oh, Tony. Tony wants to talk more about AEW.
No, I'm just trying to think if there was anything else. I don't think so.
Nothing else. Well, next week, while Tony's thinking, we got AEW superstar Bear Boulder joining us. So he'll be joining us 7:45 next week. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the show. And he'll be in at 7:45. So tune in. We'll talk to one half of the Iron Savages. You see him on AEW. You see him on Ring of Honor. You've seen him in WrestlePro. Yes, Tony.
I got breaking news.
All right, break it.
With the stepping down of Vincent Kennedy McMahon from the board, TKO announces that they promoted Mr. Connecticut to the board of directors. You heard it here first, folks. Something awful familiar about that guy, but I'm probably wrong. Breaking news, bro. You may not like it, but we got to bring it to you.
I hate your guts.
Want me to do some local Newark news?
Jesus! Do I? Jesus!
What's going on in the mean streets of Newark? Did I ever find the guy that was banging on that window of that lady whose car I was next to when I was coming to see you last week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's fine. I don't know what you want me to say.
Oh, my God.
Newark, New Jersey holds first lottery for sale of city-owned houses for just $1. If you're looking to make that move to New Jersey, folks, now's the time to do it.
$1, huh?
Dude, they even got the tumbler at Town Hall, the pick your fucking Royal Rumble number.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be in a great neighborhood.
The winners were among dozens of people who pre-qualified last year for the program that sells dilapidated city-owned properties for $1. Qualifiers had keys with names on them stuffed into the spinning baskets, and winners were drawn from there.
Are these the same people that sell dilapidated boats? Delete!
Get your back up off the wall and dance. Come on. You gonna get down?
I thought this was good. Nork.
Get down on it. Get down on it.
I like gang.
How you gonna do it if you really don't want to dance?
Come on now.
Off the wall.
Tell me. I heard all the people say.
Get down on it.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, this was a lot of fun tonight.
Oh, God. I got to do another presentation.
You got to do a presentation, like, right now?
No, I got to pull up the fucking the closer.
Reach. Yes, the closer. Well, next week, what are we talking? We got Bear Boulder. We got NXT Vengeance Day picks to talk about. Because that is this weekend. This Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, it's a week. Yeah, you're right.
Saturday. Saturday. No, don't forget Elimination Chamber Sunday. Saturday.
Will you be waking up at 5 a.m. to watch the Elimination Chamber live?
Oh, wait. It's Saturday at 5 a.m.? So we got to get our picks in like Friday, no?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the that's at the end of February, contrary to what you may have heard earlier. Yes, it's not this week. November's not 6 months from today. There's a lot of misnomers on this show tonight.
Yeah. Misinformations.
Yeah, I mean, we're not journalists here. We're just talking.
Come to Newark. Buy a house for a dollar.
Yeah, buy a house for a dollar in Newark. You can be Tony's neighbor.
Maybe you could host the very next XPW show in your non-habitable house.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if XPW is buying the whole thing.
That should be a punishment. We should have to go to an XPW show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no!
XPW apartment complex.
Let's see. Oh, my God. February 24th is the next XPW show at the Harp Ballroom in Newark. Alive and kicking.
Is Moth there?
Let's see. Mickey Knuckles, Schlack, Magga Butcher, Jasmine St. Clair, Cat Martini, Masada, Judge Joe Dredd, and more XPW stars.
Great.
Right now, you can get ringside seats for $81.50.
God, what?
Wonderful.
How did they get away with charging that bullshit?
Because they only have 10 ringside seats.
Second row is $66.50.
Yeah.
There is an AWF show on February 24th, too. Just saying, says Mott Spock.
All right, get us tickets, brother.
No problem.
I'm going to the Seton Hall game on February 24th.
You make the trip, I'll get you in.
Nice.
Let's see. The man's champion, Schlack. The woman's champion is Mickey Knuckles.
No, boy.
Oh, Schlack is also the king of the death match.
So many guys in that roster.
The TV champion is Cat Martini.
You
can get an XPW beanie for $25.
Tom Latimer there?
Christmas 2 Blu-ray.
Too beaucoup.
You can't cancel what was canceled.
Oh, my God. Are we really giving XPW more time?
You asked. Their next show just happened in Houston.
Their next show just happened.
Yeah.
Can we write that down? That's the name of the episode.
Their next show.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Brendan didn't put in fucking XPW results.
Oh, poor baby. You're probably didn't even know they were still a thing.
Fired.
Well, I'm sure nobody got jabbed in the dick with a fucking needle, so he didn't give a shit about it.
That's a fair point.
All right, are we done? Come on. I want to go to bed.
Tony wants to go to sleep. We'll be back next week.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network.
Somebody's got to give you the fucking hook to get out of here.
Executive producer is Manny Kradzo. Our producers
are Manny
Rossoniello,
we'll talk about the new Patreon shit next week.
Matt Garifo, High Five, Tom, Ryan Schwong, Brendan Haney, Mike Peterson, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, William Mercier Jr., Michael Hammond, David Henry Bauer III, Keith Parker, and S.J. McDonald. Special thanks to all our assistant producers as well. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
Fucking rules.